Call the meeting to order for December 22nd, starting at 9:33 this morning a.m. I will now call on Councillor Innes to do the prayer and then the O Canada, please.
Grant us, O God, perception and patience that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from parochialism that divides us, and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action, that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Okay, we have some changes to the agenda this morning, so I'll read through them and then I'll explain where we're going and how we're going to make this first part of the morning work. So added delegations, we have David Loveridge, Director of Public Works, speaking on townwide review speed limit. Added delegations is Pete Patterson on townwide speed limit. And Sherry Baroshi to provide rules and order on its committees to repeal and replace the 2009-88 as amended. Also, how we're going to go forward on this as well, so everybody knows. We're going to take the first delegation because it's referring to something that's going to be discussed in camera. We did have a delegation as well last council meeting. So we're going to deal with that, go in camera, then we'll come back and we'll go through the agenda. And I do know the heritage designation is one of the first ones that we got a lot of people in the crowd. We'll try to get that done early. I do know there's a couple people here who have appointments later here this morning, so we'll try to get through to get everybody through the process. Okay? So having said that, moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Groves, that the agenda for December 22nd, 2015 council meeting. Oh, sorry, Councillor Groves. Clerk is.
Sorry, thank you. Just before we approve the agenda, Mayor Thompson, through you to the chair, we do have a delegation on the procedural bylaw.
Yes.
It's not really on the agenda in full. So are we allowed to make any comments on it or bring that forward?
Through your worship, to Councillor Groves, yes, of course. It is listed on the bylaw, on the agenda as under bylaws, and at that point
it comes to the bylaw I can raise it, because it's not in a report.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'll go back to it. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Groves, that the agenda for December 22nd, 2015 council meeting be approved as amended. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Any disclosure of pecuniary interest as we go forward? Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just with respect to the minutes that are enclosed from December 8th, that was with respect to contract negotiation with Caledon Fire. As I am a Toronto professional firefighter, I declared an conflict. And as they are in the minutes, I am again declaring a conflict. And when we get to the minutes, I will step down.
Okay, we'll do that in the minutes as well.
And maybe I should declare a conflict too. I get two sons and our brother on our volunteers. So
volunteers, they're There's no conflict issue there. You're good. Okay. But thanks for asking. Okay. Moving forward, there's no further on pecuniary interest. I will now call on our first delegation, Mr. Ronald Webb, if you could please come forward. At this point, you do have 10 minutes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for letting us appear today, so close to Christmas. I have a site plan on the machine. I don't know how to turn it on.
We'll get that looked after for you.
Thank you. I'd like to be able to speak to that. The second thing, sir, I wanted to ask if you would consider giving us more than the normal 10 minutes. I'm going to try to keep my submissions to 10 minutes or less, but if you would permit me to go over, I would appreciate it.
All right. What I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 10 minutes, and then we'll see what you need for that, and I think council will be amenable to what we can do. We'll ask you at that, okay?
More than fair. Thank you. The last thing before I start, just so I don't forget, Mr. Cusimano, our client's architect, is here. In case there are any detailed questions about the physical features of the site, better you should hear from him than from me. You probably won't need to ask him questions, but he is here. Mr. Mayor, what I wanted to say at the outset is that the property, which is on Hure Ontario Street, Provincial Highway 10, is shown on the site plan, which I have put up on the screen. That property is currently used by a landscape contractor and horticulture operation, as it has been for some time. My belief is that that is a permitted use, and that's why it's been there for the length of time it has, and why it is likely to continue into the future. The action that takes place there is what normally one would expect. That is, there is landscaping material brought in, which would include earth, rocks, trees, shrubs, and all of that sort of thing. And then it is taken out of there to provide to customers and clients of that business. In conjunction with that business, there are about 35 trucks that are used on site and off site daily. Most of those are pickup, but there are some heavy duty trucks, and you all know what the implications of that are. Business operates from, as I understand it, about 5:30 in the morning until the trucks return mid-afternoon, about 3:30, 4 o'clock. What is proposed is to use the site for a medical marijuana production facility. I'm sure some of you know a good deal about what that means. It is, in my submission, a very benign kind of use. The operation would be from 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. Most of the traffic that would go in and out is the employees of the business. There would not be, in the future, if it is permitted, the kind of use, traffic use by heavy vehicles that there now is. You know a license was applied for, and that is pending. We hope to hear almost any day that the license has been granted. a very brief history of our client's involvement. Some of you, all of you probably, will remember that we have represented these two clients, Cannabis Care Canada, Inc., and White Sova Holdings, Inc., since you began the planning process, which resulted in the council enacting two zoning bylaws in September of 2014. Our client made submissions to you at each and every one of the council meetings at which the matter was considered. We have consistently said two things, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Mayor, sorry. First is that the production and processing of medical marijuana is an agricultural use. That, we say, based on the plain wording of your bylaws, which you have amended, but prior to the amendment, it, in my submission, was quite clear that what is proposed is a permitted agricultural use. I don't propose to get into it, but there is considerable case law which I could refer you to and which we will refer to if this matter does go to the Ontario Municipal Board. The use is very much like the production and processing of other agricultural products such as tomatoes or mushrooms. The Ontario Federation of Agriculture and the Peel Federation of Agriculture agree with our interpretation, as does the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food. The second main theme that we have consistently stated to you is that if you don't accept our interpretation, then we submit that this site is a suitable site for the proposed use. And the use proposed does represent good planning. We had, as you noted, I'm sure, it is on a provincial highway with an MTO permitted access. It has an existing building that is suitable for the use. The building is far from the neighbors, including residential or institutional. It will not have any of those impacts which the OMB traditionally considers, that is noise, light, traffic, odor. Until we received the witness statements late on Friday from your staff, there had been no specific allegation that any of those matters would be an issue. I'm not even sure, Mr. Mayor, that they are saying that they will be an issue. Rather, they seem to say they could be an issue. We are here to say categorically that none of those matters will be a real issue. Cannabis Care did appeal the two bylaws in their entirety. We attended some months ago at another council meeting at which we made a proposal to settle this case. We're here to reiterate that proposal. First, Cannabis Care will withdraw or scope its appeal to include only the site on Highway 10. And it will agree not to use the site for the production of medical marijuana until it has obtained a scoped site plan approval. we would need to have an agreement with you, the council or your staff, as to what that would entail. I think I know what it means, and our client will submit to that. Also, it would not attempt to use the site until it has provided an acceptable expert's report with respect to the use of water and the management of waste water. It is our contention that an undue amount of water, an undue amount, would not be used. Mr. Cusimano is the person who has done the research on behalf of our client, and he has made that statement. The benefits to the settlement from your perspective, Mr. Mayor, would be that you would no longer be at risk that these types of uses would pop up throughout the town on all of the agriculture zoned land. It would be restricted only to this site. Secondly, it will save the taxpayers of Caledon the significant cost of an Ontario Municipal Board hearing, which is scheduled to take place starting on January 18. In summary, the proposed use will have less impact than the current use. The facility will produce only about 5 pounds of product a week.
How much more do you have to speak on, Mr. Webb?
I would say 3 to 5 minutes. I'm talking as fast as I can.
Mr. Councillor Bedford, you're okay. Council okay with that? Can I have a show of hands, please?
Can I just comment on that,
please? No, I can't have you comment on it. All right. Go ahead.
I feel like we're litigating something that needs to be dealt with our legal department. I've just heard so many things that are inaccurate, and I'll use the word inaccurate, and I have the media sitting here, and I just have a hard time sitting here knowing the case as well as I do. So because I'm hearing these inaccuracies, Mr. Mayor, and because you held my resident, who first time you held him to his 10 minutes, I have a hard time extending any further time. I think we should go into private, go into closed session. And this is where this is appropriately discussed, not with the correct information coming from our staff.
Okay. Fair enough. And I will take that is of your opinion. Just to clarify, that's your opinion. The one thing is, through delegations, if they ask for extended time, they're entitled to do that, which this gentleman has. So now I will ask council, put up your hand if you're willing to give him an extra 3 or 4 minutes. Opposed? Do it again? Okay. In favor? The clerk needs to see it. Opposed? Okay. Okay, Mr. Webb.
Mr. Mayor, if I stated anything which is inaccurate, it was unintentional, and I would certainly appreciate the opportunity to address any alleged inaccuracies. However, the way this use would work, it would be about 5 pounds of product produced per week. It is packaged into containers of about 30 grams, no, maximum 30 grams. It would be picked up by Canada Post or some similar type of carrier and would be taken away from the property. Very, very light traffic use. If you've had the opportunity to read the submission, the Big Green Book, you'll know that the lighting of the property will be controlled. There will be no noise emanating from the use of the property. There will be no odor, pollen, or other emissions from it. the site, Mr. Mayor, can hardly be considered to be in a rural setting. It's on a provincial highway, a major provincial highway. It is true that the facility will employ 30 to 50 people, and I would think, from the perspective of the town at large, that is a good thing, not a bad thing. In conclusion, we respectfully request that you accept our client's offer to settle, and we have this matter dealt with finally and quickly in January. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. Okay. We're going to now, I have a motion here moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Innes, that Council shall go into closed session under Section 239 of the Municipal Act and the purpose of confidential report ADM 2015-076 for proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality or local board, Kennedy Road expropriation 12266 Kennedy Road, compensation and settlement. Confidential report 2015-101, the advice on the subject to solicit client privilege, including communications necessary for the purposes of litigation, including matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality. Cannabis Care Canada Incorporated, White Silva Holdings Incorporated, appeal by law or zoning bylaw numbers 2014-088 and 214-089, OMB case number PL141233. All in favor? Okay, we'll deal with these two and we'll be back. County second by Councillor McClure, that confidential report ADM 2015-076 regarding proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality or local board. The authorities to settle and pay compensation for the expropriated land and temporary easement identified in Table 1 being parts of the property municipality known as 1266 Kennedy Road, Caledon, and that the Kennedy lands in accordance with the direction and the recommendation of the Town of Caledon's external legal counsel be received, and that the payment of compensation and interest and costs in accordance with the terms of the settlement outlined in confidential report ADM 2015-076 be authorized for the Kennedy lands, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute all documents necessary for the incidental to the settlement of the expropriation of the Kennedy lands. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Befford. And second by Councillor DeBoer. The confidential report DP 2015-101, advice that the subject solicitor client privilege, including communication necessary for the purpose of litigation, including matters before the administrative tribunals affecting the municipality, Cannabis Care Canada, White Silva Holdings appeal, zoning bylaw numbers 214-088 and 2014-089, OMB case PL141233 be received. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Now we will now move on to our next delegation presentation from Gene Carberry. Could you please?
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of Council. Thank you for listening to me again. I have been here before speaking of the same subject, of course, and I'll try not to repeat myself this morning, and I'll try to be brief, but there are some other issues that I wish to address. First of all, the commercial property owners in downtown Bolton are largely opposed to the heritage designation. I told councillors last summer I circulated documents showing a survey that the BIA conducted. That survey was conducted in a completely impartial and impeccable manner. We were warned at the outset that we should not be lobbying the negative view, and we did not. The survey was mailed out to all the commercial property owners in downtown Bolton. The results were tabulated by myself and the report sent to all councillors. Each and every comment was recorded for and against and made available. The results of the survey have been an open book. I advised anyone who was interested that they could examine my whole file, including all the returned questionnaires. Only one person elected to do so. I'm now told that this survey is incorrect because of a petition that has been circulated. The petition I've not been allowed to see, although I have to admit I was given a quick preview by someone about 5 minutes before it was snatched away. From what I could see from the survey, it was mostly residents, some commercial tenants. Nothing against tenants. I was a tenant in Bolton for most of my professional life here. But it's the owners who have the invested interest that I would suggest are the ones that should be listened to, and they were the ones who were surveyed. And that was made clear from the outset as well. I stand by the results of the survey, and I would like councillors to be assured that the majority of commercial property owners are opposed and representing a very large assessment base in downtown Bolton. Rob Architects have commented that HCDs work best where they have the support of local property owners. I would suggest to you that as far as the commercial property is concerned, that support is simply not there or not enough. Rob Architects, as I mentioned in my last submission, did do a study in 2008. I've been criticized for the language that I used. Did have, oh dear. The point was that not all expert planners are in favor or support downtown Bolton as a heritage district. I've also been referred to the Cultural Heritage Landscapes Study, which seemed to say that because of the history and the river, then the whole of Bolton, including the downtown, should be included in this designation. Interestingly, if you look at the plan produced in that study, there's a large rectangle in the middle of Bolton that they say should be excluded. Basically, the block to the west and north of King Street where Tim Hortons and TD Bank are, but a large block of downtown Bolton. Another interesting thing in that study was that they said, they commented on the ambitious new block along King Street East in the style of the original commercial architecture maintains something of the traditional commercial ambience. Speaking, of course, about the courtyards built in the 1980s, and I would suggest when you drive into Bolton from any direction, it's one of the dominant buildings, and it does seem to reflect the style of the older buildings. Somehow the builder, the designer of that development, along with the planners who supervised it, were able to preserve the historical ambience without the benefit of a heritage conservation designation. The effect on property values, which we've spoken of often, I can't believe that we are still being asked to accept the Shipley reports as having any relevance to commercial property. The comment is that the values stabilize or improve over 10 years. I would suggest that anyone here who owns property over 10 years is going to expect through sheer inflation that it will improve and not just stabilize. I believe that we have established that people, potential developers, retail owners, are put off by a heritage designation, and that is bound to have an effect on the values of all properties. Now, in my original letter to the planners, which has also been circulated, it was sent back in October, I challenged them to do five things. Three of those were addressed, and I've commented on them. Two of them were not addressed at all. I asked them to demonstrate clearly that an HCD designation will cut down on the red tape involved in the permission process or admit that it will not in fact do so. That was not addressed at all in the response from staff or from the consultants. I would suggest that, in fact, the red tape will be exactly as it is now. It may or may not be worse because of heritage designation, but it will not be improved. The other question that I posed that was not addressed was to inform you, council members, that you have an option to designate the residential portions of Bolton and while leaving out the commercial core. Clearly, there are many residents in support. There are beautiful residential buildings. I have never denigrated those areas. I believe that those areas should be designated, and it's quite possible to do so without involving the commercial core. And that was the original, if you remember, recommendation of the Rob Architects study. In conclusion, Mr. Mayor, members of council, I would suggest to you that Bolton downtown is dead and dying. In order,
please go ahead.
Businesses start up and close down. It's not a place where shoppers, out of town tourists, are going to be attracted to come. Does not have the kinds of boutique stores. I remember from 25 years ago, there used to be little stores that people would be interested to go into, cafes, restaurants, are simply not there in downtown Bolton, unfortunately. There are many ways to revitalize downtown Bolton. HCD designation is not one of them. There are examples around the province where this has been done to downtown areas. I would urge council to not make a decision on this today. Defer a decision, look at other options for revitalizing the downtown. Look at other examples around the province. Let's have a real consultation of different options, not just a single track road such as the HCD process has been, leading only to one thing, where the only real consultation was about what colour should the brick be or what shape the window should be. The BIA is committed and will be committed to work with council on such a consultation, and I would challenge you, I would ask you to seriously consider it. HCD designation will not go away. It's still available 6 months, a year, 5 years down the road, it will still be available. Revitalize downtown first and then consider it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I do have to leave. I have demands from my law practice. I cannot stay. I would like to for the rest of the designations and for the decisions. It's not from lack of interest on my part or any other commercial property owner who can't be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carberry. Valerie Mackey.
No questions.
We're all good. We're going to hold you up. So I haven't clarified with Ms. Carberry, but she did hit it on the 10-minute mark. So please come forward. I'm going to say all delegations have 10 minutes. If you need longer, well, then we'll deal with the like I've been doing this morning. So.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, members of council, and to the supporters of the Village of Bolton HCD who are here in the audience today. Ms. Carberry addressed the first point. You probably recognize me. I was here at the public meeting November the 11th, and I'm the culprit behind the petition. I did the petition of my own volition. I'm the owner of a heritage home, along with my husband, in the core of what will become the HCD. And I sensed that there was greater support among the community than was being discussed. So I went out on foot for 3 days running, and I approached first the residential areas. That was really my focus as a resident. And I came armed, as Mrs. Carberry suggested, with a lot of names that look like residential names, and they are. There are 41 names on the report that was submitted. The third day, I was feeling a little more ambitious because I had encountered some business owners who have businesses in the residences along King Street East and West. And they range from a lawyer, a business firm, a holistic health food operator, as well as an engineering firm who designs engineering and bridges for over water spaces. I didn't know that they were there. And I collected names then along the main street in the core in downtown Bolton, and I came back with 23 names of businesses. And that was my focus. Businesses, as Mrs. Carberry says, they're the eyes and the lights of the village. It was only after her presentation at the meeting on November 25th that I started to examine the names that had signed my petition. And on this list, this is the list that was submitted on November the 11th, there were 9 commercial building owners who signed this list. They also operate businesses, all but one, but there were 9 commercial property owners that signed this, and they ranged. There is a wide variety of uses. I then went out again, and I started to talk to business owners that I didn't know, and through the help and community, I found an additional 5 people who are all within the core. 2 of them own single buildings. 1 of them owns multiple buildings. A second one owns 2 buildings on Queen Street and 1 on an adjoining street. And 2 of these people this latter group are business operators as well. Now, I would challenge Mrs. Carberry's statement that downtown Bolton is dying. If you walk inside, as I was forced to, in order to meet people, you can walk into Jimmy Putney's business. He's got a sofa. It's the most inviting salon that I have ever seen. And the same could be said of the other 4 salons in the immediate vicinity. The new people that are operating Cielo have an incredibly inviting ambiance within their business. They didn't sign, but they nevertheless are, I think, doing their best to make sure that the health of Bolton is maintained. So I would refute that comment. I'd like to add a remark about HCDs in general. The first HCD was evolved in Meadowvale in 1980. Not a great economic time. If those of you who happen to own property at that time will remember, home mortgages were in the range of 14%, 15%, 16%. They renewed by the end of that year at 21%, and yet the community of Meadowvale had the guts to take on an HCD in their area. And neither that HCD nor the 120 HCDs that have followed across the province of Ontario have been rescinded. These are widely differing communities, and the fact that they are still in place today, 35 years later, or over a continuum of 35 years later, suggests that these HCDs have been and continue to be tools of revitalization in the community. It also suggests something else, and to me, it suggests that there is a positive combination of efforts from three groups: commercial property owners, business owners, and residents alike, and that all three groups have benefited from these. If then that is the case, then it is unlikely that commercial property values have been diminished by the presence of an HCD. In the written remarks presented on November 25th, there was a comment that there was a highway running through the middle of Bolton. The downtown core of Bolton, to my knowledge, has two regional roads running through it, and the posted speed limits on those two regional roads are 50 kilometers an hour, much like any other road within the village of Bolton. The impact of the truck advisory was felt almost overnight, and I'd really like to thank all of the members of council who had the courage to step up and create a modern solution for a problem that I was told once by David McFall was first addressed in 1937. So it's taken 80 years for somebody in Bolton or to recognize on behalf of Bolton that there was a problem. And I think the safer environment, the lack of noise pollution from the rumbling of trucks and semis, is going to bring a huge change to the village of Bolton. And it's going to increase foot traffic and foster businesses that will benefit from foot traffic. A lot's been said about words, but I think behind the words is the intent. And I don't think at any point in the Peter Stewart Rob, George Rob architectural report, the intent was to state that areas in downtown Bolton did not display the concentration and significance of cultural heritage resources. The report identified three areas out of nine in Caledon, so that's pretty significant, and it also called out the King Street West. And as a resident of the King Street East portion, I would argue that in a neighborhood, and I look across the street at what I think is probably the single finest residential district. Every house is different. Every house is set in a green space. And four out of the seven houses immediately across the street from my house are close to 170 years old. They are original and they are still standing, and we should honor and cherish those. I think the issue of red tape has been addressed in both the consultant's report, it's been addressed in the staff report, and I think the commitment from town staff to have heritage permits within a five-day period is a remarkable request. I won't speak to the rest, but I think the intent is there and will be honored with everybody's support. So, on behalf of Bolton community, Bolton residents, and the folks that took the time, I don't think I'm a lobbyist. I'm just a citizen who is interested. I'd like to submit these additional five reports, and thank you for allowing me to speak, and I wish you all the very best for Christmas season.
Thank you. Ms. Broadbent? Are there Broadbent? There she is. I thought you'd be dressed up for Christmas. I know it's purple.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson, members of council. Whoa, okay, thank you. My name, as you know, is Heather Gay Broadbent, and I have represented the 41-year-old Albion Bolton Historical Society on the Bolton Heritage District study. I'm represented here today by my president and secretary, Mr. and Mrs. Bottoms. I'm also one of only two remaining founders of what is now Heritage Caledon, almost 40 years ago. I make these points to show to the newer councillors that I've been involved in the history of Caledon for a long time. I care very deeply for the village and Caledon that I've lived and shopped in for over 45 years, 28 actually living in Bolton, the rest in Ward 4. With Bolton businessmen, the late Harold Egan, Worden Levins, and also Bob Smith, I organized a calls program with the Ontario Association of Architects for the Village in the 70s, which advocated the formation of the BIA, amongst other things, as well as other ways to preserve the commercial core. Full implementation then of a Save Bolton program was somewhat handicapped by the number of disinterested absentee store owners, a fact that seems to have dogged the commercial core for many years. I applaud Heritage Caledon and the Planning Department for initiating the current Heritage District study of Bolton, and also Caledon Council for finding the funds to finance this very worthy study. I personally have been involved peripherally with two very early studies, namely Meadowvale, which was my family were the founding millers there, and the other one was Oakville, and have since read reports and can tell you that this is the best I have ever read. An appeal against it would be a waste of money. It is too thorough. It is many years ago that Caledon endorsed with other councils along the main Humber and principal tributaries the attempts by all of their heritage committees to get the national designation of the Humber as a Canadian Heritage River. It was the first, but the second recognized to be accepted for its cultural affiliation to the settlement of the eastern interior of Canada in both prehistoric and pioneer settlement. Rather than the rivers that had gone before, which were the larger and wilder rivers in the north. May I remind you for the second time that our historic village and others that remain, as Bolton does, played a big part in that recognition. Ours has existed since the early 1820s, as you've been told already, only because of the river's ability to power a variety of early mills, which in turn brought in early workers, their families, and eventually other residents, including farmers, who usually left the farm to their sons to operate and then built many of our lovely homes as they retired to what they called town. We are lucky to have so many really early and stunning buildings. What really enhances the village is the perfect bowl of the valley slopes, cupping the village in all its seasons, even in the white of winter. It is the perfect setting of the surrounding hills and river, providing a magnificent backdrop that really makes the Bolton core so very special and a great place to live. As a very involved resident, I respectfully request that you accept the excellent report prepared by your very competent consultants and proceed with the designation of the Bolton Heritage District. Thank you. Are there any questions, Mr. Mayor?
No, there's none. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Broadbent. Mr. Patterson, come on down.
Your Worship, Mayor Thompson, and members of council, I'm Derek Patterson, and I reside at 86 Fountain Bridge Drive in the town of Bolton, and I come before you today to express my support for the Bolton Heritage Conservation District. Although I don't live directly in the core part that's being studied today, my family has definitely spent many, many generations within that core, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time here lamenting on that with you. It was previously stated that it was stated, and I quote, "As an untutored observer, I cannot see Bolton as having heritage value. There are small pockets of old-looking buildings. Where you see old-looking buildings, I see a house like 122 King Street East, where my father grew up. The house overlooks the Humber River, which itself is designated a Canadian Heritage River. It was built in 1848, prior to the foundation of Canada as we know it today. The house is of wood frame construction and a beautiful example of Gothic Revival cottage, and has withstood floods and weather over all these years. And best of all, it was my grandfather's house. Queen Street has also witnessed its passage of time. Many former buildings have been modified, moved, or destroyed by fire or dismantled. But despite this, people identify with the village and its natural setting and see it as a unique part of Bolton, separate from the North and South Hills. In closing, I leave you with these thoughts. We are all just links in the chain of generations. How do you want your link to be remembered? Adopting the Bolton HCD would preserve our past while strengthening our sense of community. The village of Bolton deserves our respect, and its unique buildings are part of our country's history, and we are its current caretakers. Let us not fail to execute our duty and preserve our heritage for the future generations. Thank you, Your Worship, and members of council.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patterson. Jimmy Putney, on behalf of that, I do believe Heather Broadbent, are you speaking on behalf of Jimmy today?
I will read. To Your Worship, Mayor Thompson and Council, thank you for the opportunity to delegate. First of all, I'd like to apologize for my absence today due to my work schedule. However, I know Ms. Broadbent will do my words justice. Hope so. My name is Jimmy Putney, and I have lived in Bolton now for over 20 years. I've owned a business in town for almost as long, and 4 years ago, I became a commercial property owner. My family and I live and work out of our home on Queen Street North in downtown Bolton. 5 years ago, I had the good fortune to be elected to the BIA board, and I served as a chair for a 4-year term. Having grown up in Streetsville, I wanted to help bring the same vibrancy, business stability, and ambience to downtown Bolton that I had witnessed over the 20-plus years I had spent there. But of course, even better, I knew that joining the BIA should be just the right channel to help achieve such a plan. Over the past 5 years, I have visited several BIAs across Ontario that comprise or are located within HCD to try and find out what their success story is and how they got there. My findings led me to focus on Orangeville, which, out of all the BIAs and HCD areas I studied, is very compatible to Bolton, as was confirmed by the town's consultants. The population is almost the same. The commercial retail to residential ratio is virtually identical, and it has the same small town community feel that Bolton is so proud of and would like to maintain. In 2002, Orangeville Council approved a heritage conservation district for their community, and with a bypass constructed for future development, a starting point was created. I remind council that a little over 15 years ago, downtown Orangeville wasn't quite as popular and pretty successful story that we now know. Recently, Orangeville won the Best Main Street in Canada award, and I believe that is something that Caledon Council should want for all of its Main Street communities. Ironically, here we are today with a newly opened bypass, a Bolton Master Transportation Plan, a proposed Bolton HCD. The starting point is right now and in front of us. Others have pointed out why this HDC plan is important to them from the perspective of multiple generations of family to the retention of historic architecture that gives the area a special character. However, for myself, this plan is as much about the future as the past. As we know, with all of communities, growth will eventually come. Change is inevitable. Some of those green farmers' fields that we now drive by will, at some point, play host to homes and families. However, what 121 other communities across Ontario have already chosen to do by designating HCDs is to keep the character of a small area that is surrounded by change familiar, and to ensure that any new change is compatible. As I go back to Streetsville for a memory stroll once in a while, it feels like home, just the way I remember it, even though everything around it seems to constantly change. In fact, Streetsville's commercial property owners have recently asked Mississauga to protect its character by designating the core as an HDC. Jimmy adds that he just learned that news on Friday from a heritage planner in Mississauga. In closing, I ask council to be part of the starting point, a decisive movement that will allow Bolton's 1822 settlement history to remain safe for generations to come. He would ask me to thank your worship and Caledon Council, present and past, and to town staff for your work on this important issue for downtown Bolton.
Thank you very much. Okay.
On Jimmy's behalf.
I have no further delegations on this, so now I'll ask council to go to RB1, please. Moved by Councillor Mizzapelli, second by Councillor McClure, that the report DP 2015-0104 regarding the Village of Bolton Heritage Conservation District be received, and that the bylaw be enacted to designate the Village of Bolton Heritage Conservation District to Section 41 of the Ontario Heritage Act, and to adopt the Village of the Heritage Conservation District plan attached to Schedule D to the report of DP 2015-0104, that pursuant to the section of 41-1 of the Ontario Heritage Act, and that the bylaw be enacted to delegate authority to the Director of Development Approval and Planning Policy, or designate to approve heritage permits for alterations to properties designated under Part 4 of the Ontario Heritage Act, and that properties situated within the Heritage District under Part 5 of the Ontario Heritage Act, and that the recommendations and changes currently to the bylaws and the official plan amendments be brought forward to where the conflicts be identified with the Bolton Heritage Conservation District plan, and that the staff be directed to establish a monitoring program to determine the progress of the Bolton Heritage Conservation District, to provide an annual status update as outlined in Section 9.2 of the Schedule D to the Report 2015-0104, and that staff be directed to designated Heritage Property Grant Program to determine in the program that requires additional funds based on the increased number of eligible properties, and the expansion of the program include commercially zoned designated properties, and that staff be directed to provide a report with recommendations regarding the viability of establishing a heritage tax refund program and the support of designated heritage properties. Okay, we'll now go to the report. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson, and thank you, Sally, and our consultants for the report and the work that you've done on it. A lot of work has gone into this report and has gone into this study, so I want to thank you for that. I do have a couple of questions, Sally, and through you, Mayor Thompson, to
sure.
Sally. I believe what Mr. Putney was referring to in his in the delegation was in Streetsville. Can you explain to me, because I thought it was somewhere else also in Mississauga, where there was a heritage designation, but my understanding is that, or the Heritage Conservation District dealt with only the residential portion, not the commercial.
Through you, Your Worship, to Annette, Councillor Groves, back in the 1980s and again in the 1990s, the City of Mississauga talked about protecting the residential core of the, what they were calling the character area of the village of Port Credit through a Heritage Conservation District, and that came to pass in 2004, and it had only ever been intentionally looked at as a residential area that was bordered by the river, the Credit River, Lake Ontario, the Imperial Oil Lands, and then basically the north end was Lakeshore Road, but it was a residential area only. So the commercial area along Lakeshore Road, east and west of that, had never been looked at as a Heritage Conservation District. I think what you're referring to, what's been happening most recently, is a result of the City of Mississauga Culture Master Plan from 2009, which had identified three culture nodes. One was Streetsville, one was Port Credit Commercial Area, and one was City Center. And the report had recommended that a pilot project be established to see if they could enhance the cultural aspects of that. And those nodes were established because they had shown a concentration of cultural resources, cultural venues, cultural businesses, and so on. So the city had chosen Port Credit as that pilot project, and they've just finished a five-year pilot program there using some planning tools such as changes to the zoning bylaw and through committee of adjustment variances through that, that would help promote economic stimulation.
Okay. Thank you. I guess my question is, so they've been able to do that, and we've heard in some of the meetings where there were suggestions that we would look at a similar way of doing this, where, because clearly there is a divide. There's a divide in the community, in the village. There's a divide between the commercial owners themselves. There's a divide between the commercial owners and the residential owners. And certainly that is not the intent. It's not a productive way of doing things when you have that divisiveness in the community. And there were suggestions that we go take it this way, where take it down that path, and I think the consultants had said that you couldn't do that, but clearly Port Credit has done that, where you could not separate the two. So my understanding is the HCD was on the residential and a cultural area was in the commercial core. So through that review period, now I guess Mississauga is looking at it and saying, okay, the HCD does work on the residential, maybe it's time we start looking at it in the commercial, right?
Yes, and speaking with some of the planners down in Mississauga about what's happening with Port Credit, they will be looking at Heritage Conservation District designation. Basically, they're very different things. A cultural plan and a Heritage Conservation District do different or perform different levels of protection. A culture plan does not talk about architectural control. It doesn't prevent a demolition and so on. So the planners in Mississauga are telling me that they would be considering a Heritage Conservation District for Port Credit further down the line. It's like in Streetsville right now, the commercial property owners have come forward. They are being considered as a cultural node, but they're also looking for Heritage Conservation District designation.
So in a cultural area, can we as a council put in those architectural controls as we do in other areas where maybe in our industrial developments there are architectural controls in place? Can we as a council do that? Or is it against, is there an act that it's against or that doesn't permit it, or can council do that?
The tool that a cultural plan is, as I understand it, is basically controlled through zoning, and you can't control architecture through zoning.
Okay.
So basically the answer is yes, council can bring forward to have that zone.
Basically what you're looking at basically is complementary tools.
Right. So on page 13 of the report, page 13 and 14 speaks to zoning, a zoning bylaw in the commercial core. It also speaks to the sign bylaw and update in the commercial core, tree planting preservations, and property standards bylaw. I guess what I would have liked to have seen is through this process that the HCD would have followed these processes so that the zoning bylaw would have been in place at the same time as the HCD is in place. To me, it just makes it a lot cleaner and easier. But I don't see that that's happening. So the HCD is moving ahead. We're playing catch up in bringing these bylaws into place. Am I correct or am
okay, I? Okay, can I, first of all, just because we're on recording and people are listening in, Sally, can you please introduce your... I just need it for public record because people are going to be listening in to the council meeting. Councilor Gross, if you don't mind.
May I introduce, Alex Rose Thompson as one of our consultants from ERA Architects.
Okay. Rose, please come forward.
Councilor Gross, I just wanted to point out, so Sally was speaking about how zoning doesn't have the architectural control or that sort of qualitative layer. Zoning is strictly quantitative, and that's a planning thing. So in terms of the recommendations that were set out in the plan to make some changes to the zoning, I want to emphasize that they're very minor changes. So at present, the zoning in the district, in the village, is adequate in terms of heights and setbacks. There, we didn't find any great discrepancies, because generally speaking, when you're developing a plan, you're trying to work as far as possible with the current character in the zoning. You're not trying to create vast conflicts where there are. So in terms of those changes that we recommend that happen to the zoning, those aren't going to be very drastic changes. And if they didn't occur in the near future, that would not have a great impact on the district
But still, there are recommendations. I would have liked to see that all of these things would follow the same process and would be working simultaneously with the HCD process. I just think that it just makes it cleaner.
Sure.
We're right now undertaking a townwide zoning bylaw to update it so that it conforms to our official plan, which should have done many years ago, because it just makes the process so difficult because the OP was written, or the bylaw was written back in 88 or something like that, and the official plan continues to change. And so as those changes occur in the OP, the zoning's not conforming to the OP, so it just makes it very complicated. And now we are spending that time and dollars to bring everything into conformity. So I would have liked to see this so that we don't repeat sort of the same thing. I understand what you're saying, that they're minor changes, but still it would have been nice to see that all of those processes would have been simultaneously as the HCD was proceeding.
I'll just note that elsewhere in the province, this is the normal practice. So often the recommendations come out of the plan, and that is I understand your point, but it's sort of common practice to sort of
right, but
follow.
I would have liked to seen them working together.
Yes. One more note I should just mention. I know it's in the plan, but it may be missed that once a bylaw is enacted for the HCD, it does take precedence. It prevails under the Ontario Heritage Act over any other planning. So when there is a conflict, if a conflict does occur, say, in the next year, if a designation goes through between the zoning and the plan prevails, and it won't actually cause cause an issue.
I met with Derek Patterson and Nicholas Brooksbank, and I want to thank you, Derek, and Nicholas, for meeting with me to understand more about this plan and what your positions are and where your concerns are. And one of the things that we talked about that would be a good thing is that review period. So thank you for the suggestion. And Sally, thank you for writing that into the report, that we do have that review period. I think it is important. It's an important tool that we have, that we can review the bylaw, and we can see what's happening, what we need to change, what's working, what isn't. And so that review period, I think, is a very good thing in the report. With regards to, I know comments have been made about the businesses that are struggling. I think there are businesses struggling in the entire community of Bolton. It's not new. We've heard it several times. We continue to hear it. I'm certain when the mayor goes around and speaks to the businesses, he hears the same thing. When we knock on doors on the business community, we're hearing the same thing. They are struggling, both in the retail, commercial, industrial sector. They are all struggling. We are working and doing everything that we can to make sure that that doesn't continue. Hence, the Bolton Transportation Master Plan has some really good recommendations in there. And also, now that we completed that bypass, I thought it was important that we did do something to remove those trucks, because the trucks in the downtown core, it was a hindrance, in my opinion, for a pedestrian-friendly environment in the core. And certainly for years, that is what we were trying to achieve, is that pedestrian-friendly environment so that people can walk around there and not be afraid of being hit by a truck. So that's been a good thing, and I'm sure that I've heard from a lot of the businesses there that that's been a huge improvement to them, both from a safety perspective and a noise, that the noise isn't there anymore. So that's all good, and I think that that's moving in the right direction. I know that the Bolton Transportation Master Plan has some great recommendations for the core, and certainly I'd be working with both the town and the region to implement those plans, because are those recommendations, because we are doing those together because of the regional roads. So those are all good things. I guess where I'm having difficulty, and certainly for the record, I know it's been said that I don't support Heritage or the Heritage Committee or Heritage in our community, and for the record, I would just like to say that I think it is important that you do have and maintain some of your heritage. Once everything is paved over, buildings are knocked down, you can never go back. And Derek, I think you said it very well in your delegation, we need to preserve that. The struggle that I have is just the divisiveness between what is happening right now. So I'm sure I'm probably going to be the lone counselor who unfortunately will not support the HCD, not because I don't think it's the right thing to do, but because I believe that there are still challenges and issues and concerns that, in my opinion, still needs to be addressed between the community in the village of Bolton. So, Mr. Mayor, those are my comments, and I know there is that review period, and I certainly look forward to when the review period comes up to see what's happening, and I hope that we can continue to dialogue in the meantime with the residents, with the commercial owners, with the tenants in the downtown, and so that we can, when the review comes up, we'll know what direction we need to go. So thank you again, Sally and company, for the great work you've done, for the excellent report. But the only reason that I cannot support the HCD is because I still believe that there are concerns that haven't been addressed. Thank you.
I'll let you run over time, Councillor Groves, but I know you're very passionate about it, so I thought I'd just let you go. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you very much, Mayor Thompson. I too want to thank staff, ERA, the consultant, and most importantly, the public that participated. It was a long process and a lot of engagement, which is a good thing. And I don't think you can get anything as big as a plan like this that we get 100% agreement on things. And what I will say is, even those who disagree with the plan, I think in consulting and working with them over the past 2 years has actually made the plan better and allowed us to dig a little deeper. And in the end, I think that's produced a better product. So I'm thankful for that, because I think we're at actually a better place. And I can form every one of my points as questions, but it will probably be a redundant exercise. So I hope I will be permitted to just make my comments and statements. Bolton is a special place, and for me, and I believe a lot of people on both sides of this agree with that, and that it needs to be preserved so that not just our generations and previous ones, but subsequent ones will be able to be exposed to such a great place as we've all enjoyed. And that, to me, is the foundation for this. You literally get a sense when you come from the east or the west or the north or the south into that what's been termed a green bowl, that is Bolton. And I just want to make the point that it was brought up, the 2008-2009 Rob report. And what I was very pleasantly surprised to know is, of the 44 settlement areas in Caledon-wide, when you whittled it down, there was 18 of them with concentrations of built heritage resources. 9 areas out of the 8 settlements that remained were areas of cultural heritage, and 33% of those were in Bolton, including the core. So it was the residential and the commercial component. So to me, that really speaks of the value of that area. And so that was something, again, digging deeper that I took out of this that I thought was incredibly informative. The two issues with respect to why not an HCD were concerns of reduced assessment value and increased bureaucracy. And as a commercial property owner, as a residential property owner, as a counselor, I would want those vetted out. I would like the answers to that. And I've done my homework in asking the questions, reading the reports to satisfy myself that those two issues were not going to be an issue going forward with an HCD. And although I know some may not like that, the summary report that's been done that said that assessment stabilizes or increases over time, but that is what we have available. And what I don't see is anything to the contrary. A study that shows that an HCD properties within it are depreciating, whereas Equitable properties outside are actually assessed higher. I have not seen that. I've asked for it numerous times. I don't see it. But I think another anecdotal piece of evidence that's extremely indicative of assessment value is, if HCDs reduce assessment value, why would they continue to grow? And indeed, that's what's happened. Through the 2008-09 report, I believe there was in the low 80s of HCDs in Ontario. And since then, to date, there's 121. So if they've been proven to negatively affect assessment, why are they continuing to grow? Why is the satisfaction surveys continue to be so impressive? And to me, that is very comforting information that they are actually doing quite well. And as was stated, the Orangeville example, I know that we have spoken with not only their staff, but their economic development officer, and they attribute in good part the success of Orangeville to the HCD. So all of these things give me comfort that the assessment will be protected and my full expectation as a resident, as a counselor, enhanced. As far as bureaucracy, again, a legitimate concern. We want to make sure that we don't mire down the process and stymie redevelopment that is appropriate and complementary. And I see in the report examples of that being addressed. And I will just quickly draw Council's attention on page 10. We talk about internal procedural measures. So the permits will be done concurrently. So this isn't an additional process. It is a concurrent process. Pre-consultation to work out issues in advance so that the process is quicker. And as Valerie had mentioned, to read under timelines that staff anticipates minor permits will take approximately 5 days to process is very comforting to hear. And when I look at the no permit required, a minor permit, and then a major permit, I suspect the majority of what's happening and will happen will fall under the first two categories. It will require something like a demolition or a brand new build to enter into the major permit process. And even that, I know staff have worked hard with consultation with ERA to streamline that. And so, again, that gives me comfort that the process is going to be efficient. Your points are well taken about commenting agencies outside of our jurisdiction, TRCA, as we are in a floodplain. We can't control that. But what we do internally, everything has been done to align and to streamline. And so I thank you for that. And my full expectation is that will reveal itself as an efficiency in this program. So those I see as being issues that give me comfort that the assessment and the bureaucracy have been addressed very adequately in your report. Another thing I just want to quickly touch on is the consultation process. Under the Act, there is only 2 meetings that are required, one with the Heritage Committee and a public meeting. And when I look at the consultation that has actually gone through in this, it is very deep and very wide. On page 6 of the report, there is actually a summary, which I think is extremely important, to show that the public was consulted. So a community briefing letter, a questionnaire, three community consultation meetings, commercial property owner workshop, one for the residential property owners, two technical advisory committee meetings, and three stakeholder advisory committee meetings. And then subsequent to that, there was also a meeting with the mayor and some members of the public, as well as staff. So I am satisfied that we engaged deeply and listened and heard. And when I look at the composition of the stakeholder advisory committee on the planning stage, it is very cross-representative of residents, commercial property owners, and I think that is also an indication that we invited people to participate and impact the actual outcome of the study. I guess I will finish by saying I also note in looking through other documents that I've seen is that there is currently 25 HDDs in the queue, including Bolton, going forward. And to me, another expression of the increasing interest in this and the success HDDs produce. And as Councillor Groves mentioned, when you pair the HCD, which, and I'm glad to see, it talks about streetscapes, trees, landforms, building forms, and encapsulating all of that, and then you add the Bolton Transportation Master Plan, which wants to reclaim Bolton as a pedestrian cycling-friendly community. The bypass, which is now diverting traffic. We have a designated heritage river. You put all those together, and the HCD can be a key component into making Bolton a success story. And I want to be a part of that. I want to support something that is going to produce that. And I'm going to give this my absolute support, Mayor Thompson. I would like to request a recorded vote.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I have to commend staff on the report and the work you did. I know that the first time you brought it, I didn't support your project, but the premise of it was the what Councillor Groves talked about in the community and the divide, and you invited the people that had the biggest questions to be part of the committee, and you have to be congratulated because that is the answer to it. You're never going to get everybody supportive of something like this, but you've done a pretty good job. I found it interesting. I don't know which delegation, whether it was Heather that spoke to 80 years ago that they were talking. I think that was the premise of it. 80 years ago, they're talking about conservation heritage. Well, that's about the same time they started talking about the bypass. So we've got one completed, and I think I share Rob's vision for the village and the valley, and that now that the vehicles are coming out of the valley, let's recreate. And of course, we're going to do a better job than Orangeville in our downtown core. Not that there's anything wrong with Orangeville, it works there for them. So I think the important question, and where a lot of my questions have always come from, and that's the last two statements that you had here, in that you're going to be directed to assess the designated heritage property grant program and the heritage tax refund program. What kind of timelines are you looking at? What kind of things are you looking at? What are you, how is this going to roll out? Have you given it much thought?
Through you, Your Worship, if we were going to look at the designated heritage property grant program in terms of how we might want to increase it, we're going to basically go through our normal spring application round in late March, early April, and see what kind of response we get. If the district is designated by then, those properties would be eligible. So we'll have some sense of who's applying from within the district, let alone our other Part 4 designations. So we'll be able to have a sense from there moving forward as to what we might need to expand it to. With regard to the tax relief program, that's going to be reliant on dealing with Peggy and her crew in terms of looking into the details of that.
We're probably looking at least a year's time then before we'll see anything come back. We'll have to come through council, correct?
It would have to come through council. The tax relief program is established by bylaw, and it relates to the previous year's tax situation. So we could probably bring it forward in 2017, and it would be reflective of 2016 year.
Okay, and then the other comments to Councillor Grove's questions with regards to the bylaws that needed to have some modification to it, and I think you agree that there's a lot of stuff that shouldn't need to have major changes. Are they going to be addressed, for example, the working on the zoning bylaw? Will they be? Can you catch up and get them addressed within it, the small changes? And then, of course, the bylaws and stuff that I know staff are reviewing anyways.
Yes, and talking with staff about particularly the zoning bylaw amendment, for instance, that is considered to be too big a project and too far down the road to be dealing with the small little amendment that we're looking for to eliminate the conflict in the secondary Fulton secondary core area. So we would be bringing forward a separate small bylaw amendment for the zoning bylaw there.
Okay. I, too, talked to a number of people and asked the questions, and the people I talked to, some of them, forward-thinking individuals that are invested into the area and into the community and are supportive of it. So I, too, would be supporting it. I think you've done a great job, and I think it's one step, and it's the first step of a number that we have to ensure and that any future council has to ensure to revitalize the core and start to come up with ways. I know we've talked about even the idea of patios and that sort of stuff, trying to add it back to the core and making it so that people can sit in the front. When you look at the ice cream shop that was there and the number of people that sat around there coming home from soccer, that's kind of the start of what could be more of down there. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McClure.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Sally. A lot of work's gone into this. This is a thick report. And the first time through, I didn't support it, but I will now. But I'd like to see for homes, this is actually, I don't think a heritage home should be, if the individual, I think they should be protected. But if I owned a property downtown and I wanted to make it more modern, I'd like the opportunity to come before council and do this. I think in individual cases, we should review it. Maybe we should review this once a year. But I'm going to be supporting this. Thank you.
Maybe if you want to expand a little bit, that the flexibility in the report that you can add modernized windows with the heritage look.
Sure.
Sally, if you could.
One thing that this plan represents is it's basically every single ACD plan is intended to be tailored to the community. So that's part of that community consultation process to see what they're looking for in a plan in terms of what level of guideline they'd be willing to accept. And I think Alex would probably agree that this plan shows extreme flexibility. The community was very open about not wanting the plan to be prescriptive in terms of the design guidelines that it brought forward. For instance, talking about windows, as the mayor was, you can basically put a range in from the high-end wood replacement windows right down to vinyl windows. What we're looking for mostly is an interest in making sure that the configuration of those windows reflects the heritage character of the area.
That's exactly what I'd be looking for. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Downey?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to staff, and Sally, thank you very much for your leadership on the project and your leadership on Heritage, as I sit on Heritage, and to the consultants as well for all of their work. It is a thick report, but I think it's very thorough, and I'm in full support of it. I think when I started on Heritage, maybe the committee was a little bit concerned having a younger member wouldn't have the appreciation for Heritage. But little did they know that I actually grew up in downtown Bolton, and Councillor Mezzapelli, I've absolutely never heard it referred to as the Green Bowl, but that's okay. I'm not going to hold it against you. I hold downtown Bolton near and dear to my heart. I spent, I literally blocks away from homes like Valerie's, and, these are all my old neighbors. So I appreciate this. I think it is exactly what Bolton needs. I would love for the downtown core to be reflective of a village like Orangeville or Georgetown, Collingwood, any of those small villages that are successful and have thriving businesses. I think it's exactly what we need, and I'm in full support of it. So thank you very much.
Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just one more thing I want to add, and I've spoken very strongly about this throughout the process, is so there's the recommendation to institute the HCD, which is before us today. But there's a lot of recommendations that the consultant and staff have given us, and I've again numerous times spoken very strongly, is I want to be proactive in making sure that we continue to move on those going forward. And I have seen 9.2, the monitoring section of the report or the study. And so I guess I'll ask the question is, when I see about all the recommendations for the policies, so the official plan, the zoning, considering maybe a tree bylaw, sign bylaw update, will we be in our annual reviews be giving status updates on how we are proceeding with these to make sure that we keep true to our promise to fulfill the recommendations?
Yes, we actually expanded Section 9.2 to include the policy so that we would have a mechanism to come back to Council that we will be keeping track of how we're doing with that policy implementation.
Okay. So similarly to Councillor Groves, I look forward to seeing that, to see how this progresses over time and that we start putting those pieces into place and seeing it grow and being more successful. Thank you.
Okay. I got Councillor Befford.
Yes, I'd like to just say that I'll be supporting this. I think you've done an excellent job. I am not from Bolton, but I have spent much time in Bolton. I heard a comment today that, you know, perhaps the downtown core was decaying or whatever. I strongly oppose that. My doctor's been there for years. I've visited there for years. There's one lady store that I've spent many hours outside while my wife does something inside. And I know we've talked at this council table on many cases planning for some of the new people who have moved in, some businesses, some offices that have moved in, particularly on King Street west of the Four Corners. And I just think the timing's great in terms of the trucks being taken off the road and an opportunity now for people to get back to the sense of what the village is like. So I commend you, and I'll be supporting it.
Councillor Befford, I know what you're talking about, lady store. I think I go to Tim's. But having said that, there's one thing. There's one business owner that couldn't be here today, and I had a discussion with him yesterday, and as Ms. Hall knows, and I think basically what he wants out of Comfort going forward is, and I myself, along with my council, are real advocates of cutting red tape. We're going to find the efficiencies no matter how we do it. And I think this is where he was pressuring me extremely hard yesterday, was, can you please give me the assurance that this HDC, if it's passed, is going to enable me to be able to operate versus it being a barrier with this legislation. And I think basically that's what he just wanted something, and I told him, well, that's also with the one-year review, but I'll maybe ask you for that for the record. He just wants to know that we're going to do everything in our power to keep this as a living document. If there's ways we can enable our business and our commercial core, we will do so.
The Heritage Act requires a heritage permit system to be in place for an HCD,
yep.
So that is a burden in essence. That's an additional process. It's a free, there's no charge for a heritage permit. We've tried to integrate it with the building permit process and the plan site plan application review process so that it will not be an additional timeline. What basically the HCD guidelines provide is a clarity for both the applicants and staff as to the community goals in terms of what that design guidelines should look like. So in terms of our review of any application, we're both on the same page. There's much more clarity there than we had before.
And thank you for that. And I also want to say through this report, it's very flexible. We talked about the windows with Councillor McClure as an example. But I think this is a very flexible and a workable report. And I think that's where I've seen is we've tried to enable it. As Councillor Groves was talking about port credit, I think we have what port credit's looking for is implemented in these documents. I think as council, you know, we're going to be the auditors to make sure that, you know, this is going to work and how we make it work. I was opposed to when this first came in, and I know we had discussions about that, and I was advised, right, Hai Ching, come to the first meeting and listen to what you have to say. And I'm going to tell you, as I learned and I asked questions with my neighboring council members across the province, I realize this is something that's good, and that's why I'm endorsing what's being brought forward today. I think we got something that's flexible and enabling and continue to improve. It's a document that we're going to constantly improve to make this go forward. The one thing I'm going to ask everybody in the crowd here, along with my council, and I've been doing this because of a barrier that's gone between businesses in the South Hill with a fence going up. Get out and shop and support your businesses. These guys have barriers right now. Let's not knock the barriers down, but let's work with and support our community. So Councillor Groves, you're right. There's a divisiveness, but this is how I think we can go forward. This thing gets supported. I ask everybody in this room, even the businesses that are opposed and scared of this, support them every way you know how. We're all a team. We're all a partnership. If we want them to accept and become partners, we all need to support our businesses in that downtown core to show that we really believe in what we're doing. And that's my challenge to everybody out there today. And I will now turn it over to the clerk to call the vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been requested, so I'll ask all those in favor, please stand. So Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Mezzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, all those opposed? Councillor Groves, the motion is carried.
Okay. I think if we can go through some real quick ones here. The traffic one, but the delegations aren't all here. Well, the traffic one was Pete Patterson isn't here. It's not going to be short. So how about we start? Let's go backwards. Let's start with number 8. Pardon me? Oh, Jen's motion? Sure. Jen's not here. Can't do much about it. So let's go to RB8. I think that's something we can deal with right now. Is everybody good with that? No one's saying no, so we'll go to RB8. We have Ms. Hall. Did you need staff for this? Or Mr. Loveridge, you're okay? I think this is straightforward. Councillor Innes, she moved it? Ah. All right, we go to... Okay, RB3. So we're going to drag this RB3 out for a while. So we're going to go to RB3, everybody. do we have the movers here? All right, well, can I have a mover of RB3? Councillor Groves, thank you. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Mezzapelli, that report ADM 2015-075 regarding 2016 council meeting schedule be received, and that 2016 council meeting schedule be adopted and attached to Appendix A to the report ADM 2015-075, and that the bylaw be enacted to appoint an acting mayor for the remaining of the 2014 to 2018 term of council in accordance with the Schedule B to the report ADM 2015-075, and that the 2016 council meeting schedule be circulated to the Region Appeal for information purposes. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I just wanted to find out whether, I know we have the bylaw at the back. Is that something we should be discussing at the same time as which we're discussing this? Or I know I sent in my suggested changes to that, so I don't know if anybody else on council bothered to do that, but I did.
Through your worship, to members of council, the bylaws regarding an acting mayor bylaw separate from the procedural bylaw, so this only appoints you for the various months.
Right.
So if you have questions in regards to the acting mayor bylaw, now is the time.
So we can discuss the bylaw before, at the end of the day, is that what you're going to recommend? The procedural bylaw I'm
Correct.
Referring to? Okay. I just wanted clarification. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor? Carried.
Oh, Councillor Beffert had a question.
Oh, Councillor Beffert? Sorry, I did miss. Good. Okay. So we can go back to RB8 now that we've got Councillor Innes here. Moved by Councillor Innes and second by Councillor Beffert, that the report PW 2015-097 regarding Veterans Memorial Roadway Dedication Horseshoe Hill Road be received, and that the dedication and implementation of the Horseshoe Hill Road from Regional Road 12, Old Baseline, to Highway 9 as Veterans Memorial Roadway be approved and detailed in the report of 2015-097. Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. As the regional council member who actually also sat on the regional committee for this motion that went through the region, I just wanted to also ask if we could, for this report, or send a letter perhaps from the mayor to the town of Orangeville to advise them that this is our, if should it pass, that this is our selected route, so that they are made aware, because they also have a veterans memorial as well. So if we could connect with them to let them know, so that in the future, if there's events or things moving, we can connect with them and join the region with the town of Orangeville, that would be great.
I was wondering, just not only Orangeville, but also the neighboring municipality of Mono as well. I think that would be a really good suggestion. We can do that as directed, Councillor Innes. Councillor Befford.
Yes, I'd just like to note that the Region of Peel have included the Alton Legion in the discussions, and I'd like any correspondence to be sent to them to be continued to be included.
Thank you. Okay. All in favor? Carried. All right, we'll go to RB7. The Alton Parking Review. Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor Shaughnessy. You're good with that? On the Alton Parking Review, the report PW 2015. Second it? I figured you might. -096 regarding the Alton Parking Review be received. And Councillor Shaughnessy.
Was David going to speak to the report? Because I had a couple questions for him.
No, we're not. We're just going to take questions. So fire
away.
We're
going to just take the questions. Okay, so we got a really huge report. What are, if you could outline the next steps, where do we go from here? That would be an awesome thing. Thank you.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Shaughnessy. So this report is an engineering report. It gives us the base document that we need to move forward on some of the parking issues in Alton. So this report says that there's sufficient parking in Alton in a number of areas, but also identifies a shortfall along Queen Street. And I think, as you're aware, Councillor, we've been having discussions that after the work is happening on Alton Mills or Thomas Farm area, we have serious concerns about the ability of Queen Street to have continued parking there, and that's in front of Ray's. So as we move forward now, we want to take a look at, we've got this base document in place. We want to take a look at parking restrictions on Queen Street sometime in early 16. And that will exacerbate a little bit some of the parking in that area. And then I think as we bring that plan forward, we need to discuss what options are available to provide more parking in downtown Alton. It's not about parking along the main, like Main Street, not all that. That doesn't seem to be a big area, but we need to have areas somehow to support the businesses that are there and the new potential new businesses in Alton.
Thank you, because I had a telephone call this morning, and there's a number of vacant buildings that could be occupied, and the owners of those buildings fear that there's not going to be any parking, which would hamper the growth and the meaning making Alton sustainable. So I just want to make sure that, one, we address those landowners, the owners of the buildings, and two, I think it would be also nice to speak with the owners of the actual businesses.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. So noted, Councillor. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Befford, you want to speak to the awesome report?
Whoa, how to follow that? Actually, this report verifies what we've been saying for a long time, and I guess the key here is that the report, the only action, putting up no parking signs, is not the only action that we can take. And so I'm hearing that there will be some plans coming forward to try to address, and working with some of the owners, particularly the Alton Mill, some temporary and some further reaching plans. So I look forward to that.
Okay. All right, all in favor of the report? Carried. Okay, if I can get everybody to go to RB6. We're just going backwards here. I got it here. Yeah. Moved by Councillor Grove, second by Councillor Misapelli, that the report PREC 2015-019 regarding the Caledon Senior Center license and lease agreement at Rotary Place be received. That the mayor and clerk be authorized to enter an agreement with the Caledon Senior Center at Rotary Place, Bolton, in accordance of the terms outlined in the report PREC 2015-019. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Fully supportive of the recommendation of the report. Just one question I have with respect to the last bullet under terms of the proposed agreement, and it basically it's a termination clause. And so hopefully never having to go down this road, but just wanting to know, if that were ever to be the case, do we just revert back to what our current situation is? Because I know our agreement with the Rotary spoke of working with the senior center. So I just wanted to know what would be the agreement if we broke out of this formal agreement.
Through you, Mayor
yes.
Thompson.
Go ahead.
The 2011 agreement would then, I think, be in place, and then we would look at why termination would happen,
right,
and then move from there and either create a new agreement moving forward.
Okay, so there would be an agreement we would fall back to which recognizes the seniors center as the primary occupant of that space, and okay, just want to be sure. Thanks.
Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I just want to commend staff on bringing this forward and finally resolving this. I know that there's been a lot of work. Laura, thank you very much. You've been patient. You've been great. There's been a lot of frustration over this agreement, and you and your staff managed to resolve all of those frustrations and bring everybody to... Actually, there is a way of making everybody happy. They were all happy. We're happy. They're happy.
It's Laura's Christmas present
and
to everybody.
Thank you. We're just all happy. It's 3 days before Christmas. But I really want to say thank you. I know the seniors were very concerned, thinking that they're going to be thrown out of there at some point. And so thank you. Thank you for doing that. That's a great Christmas present to them.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Councillor Groves. And I'm not taking all the credit. It really needs to go to the team. And this work has been going on for some time, so there's been a lot of changes in the team members, but together they managed to make a very good agreement. You're right. Thank you.
Oh, just take the credit. It's Christmas.
No. It's time to share.
Call the vote. All in favor of the report? Carried. Okay. This is just between this and lunch now. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor DeBoer. Whereas Town of Caledon under Tuchin adopted a population employment forecast for 2031, planning horizon to implement the growth plan for the Greater Golden Horseshoe 2006. And related to the results of the provincial policy conformity process through OPA 226. And whereas the Town of Caledon undertook and formally implemented the results of the OPA 226 to identify the priority growth areas in Bolton, accommodate 10-3422 people and 2,635 jobs. Okay, here we go. This is a little bit better now. By 2031 through Bolton Residential Expansion Study, BRES. And whereas the north of King Street, west of Canadian Pacific Rail Line, east of the Gore Road, known as Option 3 land, together with the three small rounding out areas, was identified as the preferred growth area through the BRES process, which consists of the formal municipal comprehensive review process in accordance with the provincial and regional official plan policies in full agency and public consultation. And whereas the town has submitted a complete application to amend the Region Appeal Official Plan, Regional Appeal File ROP 14-002 to facilitate the development of the preferred expansion area. And whereas the town is supportive and proactive in requesting Metrolinx to immediately advance planning and protection of the rail corridor and the station area to initiate commuter GO Rail service to Bolton, and it should be surrounding areas probably, and whereas the public interest expeditiously continue to implement the planning process of the preferred expansion area as landmark of transit-oriented community in Caledon, and whereas the Town of Caledon has developed detailed work plan and working diligently on the secondary plan for the area since the submission of the Regional Official Plan Amendment application, therefore it be resolved that staff be directed to 1. Report back to the first planning committee meeting in 2016 on the progress of the secondary plan for the Bolton Residential Expansion Study Area, including the work developed in the conceptual roadwork network. 2, seek council approval to initiate and then integrate within the overall secondary planning process ABRES-related municipal class environmental assessment as recommended by the approved Bolton Transportation Master Plan. And 3, identify the name of the community as it's reflective to the area's historic background. You can tell that's who someone worked for the mayor that wrote this. Anyway, Councillor Ennis.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Council's determination of the Option 3 lands in the Bolton Residential Expansion Study was conducted following following provincial legislation, as well as including fair, open, and a very, very lengthy public process. So moving forward with a secondary plan for the BRES is sound, good planning, and this is no different than any other planning application that the town has done, including the most recent one with Mayfield West. I've been contacted by numerous residents, as well as Councillor DeBoer, with regards to recent decisions and the planning process. And this motion only confirms to our residents our confidence in the planning at both the town and the region, and that is why I've brought this motion forward today.
Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I think Councillor Innes said it well. This motion has been, or this process has been vetted publicly, and for those who are listening, because we do have individuals that are listening, this is not disrespecting the process at the Region Appeal, and I'd like to make that extremely clear. This is just Caledon moving forward with its planning. So, Councillor Innes, thank you for bringing that forward.
Okay. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I too will be supporting this, and I think it's important to highlight this is a 2031 population application, and we are on the heels or on the verge of going into 2016. So that's 15 years away, which in planning isn't a very long time to accommodate a community for 10,000 people. So good planning on our part is to get the planning done on time so that we can phase this development in over time to meet the 2031 population allocation and timeline. We don't want this to be a crunch at the very end. So good planning says to do this in advance of accommodating 10,000 people. Thanks.
Well said, Councillor Misipelli, and I'll tell you, Mayfield West is, you know, a really good example by that. But I can tell you, as the councillor of the area, it feels like it's been 25 years just with the length you think you go through. So I think it's good. Well, there's a call for a recorded vote here, so I'll turn it over to the clerk to call the vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote's been called. I'll ask all those in favor, please stand. I see that all members of council are standing, so the motion is carried unanimously.
Okay. Do we want to break for lunch? So we're going to break for lunch. I want everybody here by 1 o'clock because we will start on the road by road speed limit first. And we do have some delegations on that, so we want to be here for 1 o'clock to start that.
Mayor Thompson, if I may.
Yes.
I will be leaving at 5 to 2. I have an appointment at the Osler Hospital, and I tried to change it, but I can't have another one until next March.
Perfectly understood.
And this meeting was not on the agenda when I made the original appointment.
Thank you. That's fine. Councillor Befford, is there anything else that you need other than the speed that you think is important? I know they're all important, but is there anything else here that you need to be dealt with before we get over?
They're all important at this point.
Yeah,
we'll start
but
with
I
the
mean,
speed.
There's nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We'll do what we can to get you out of here. We'll call the meeting to order, and I want to thank, is everybody good? I think what we'll do is we'll bring Pete forward now, if you're okay.
Right now?
Yep.
Okay, sure.
We'll give you, you got 10 minutes.
Thank you. So the last 2 weeks ago, the road speed report. Oh, I am Pete Patterson. I live on Mountain View Road.
Thank you.
I've been there for 25 years, and it used to be dirt. And now it's paved, not very well, though. But I am somewhat shocked that they want to increase the road speeds, especially on roads like Mountain View. And what came to me last 2 weeks ago was that the report was based on the fact that drivers know the best speed for the road conditions. And I kept on thinking about that. I couldn't get it out of my head. And so I'm going, you know, cars today are, we're in a steel cocoon with a sofa. It's so comfortable, you have no idea what it's like out in the real world. You're just speeding along, everything's so comfortable, it misleads you. I have a lot of notes here, but I'll jump around. Two Sundays ago, I went up to Orangeville to have dinner with some friends. It was really pea soup fog. I went across Charleston and up Highway 10. As I went up Highway 10 at 80, the posted speed, everybody passed me. Everybody. It was pea soup fog. This is, oh yeah, but everybody knows the best for the road conditions. As I came home from that, I came down Mountain View from Charleston. There was a car right on my tail. And as soon as I got to escarpment, he passed me like a shot. Went down the road at probably 100 clicks. And he was driving a Camaro or something. My other thing is a guy with a Maserati. He would think the road speed's anything safe at 120, 130 because he's in his fancy car. To base the road speeds on driver's perception is wrong, just completely wrong. Rob, I think you were for increasing road speeds. My take on it is that you probably live in a cul-de-sac in a residential area. I'm not sure, but you live in a residential area? Yeah. And so should we increase the speeds on Airport Road to 90 and the residential streets to 45? Everybody tends to drive 15 kilometers over the speed limit no matter where you are. But to try and bring that back to a sensible reason, a reasonable speed, please don't increase the speeds. We are also encouraging bicyclists to be here in this community. And you're going to put them in a huge lot more danger, especially on roads like Mountain View, if you increase the speeds. It just doesn't make sense. I come out of my driveway going south. I look north, there's no car. Within 3 seconds, there's a car right on my tail. And if you increase that to 70 from 60, it's going to be even worse. So the danger increases as speeds increase. I would never say increase the speeds in a residential area to 45. I've taken that away. But I did notice, and I'm going to ask the public works guy, Torbram, I was talking through the council. Torbram, I noticed the other day, south of King, or south of Baseline, now is 80. I don't know when that happened. South of King to Mayfield is 70. But there's this sign at either end of Torbram, 80. There's no shoulders on this road. It's a narrow road, 24 feet wide, not 28 feet wide like Airport Road. I don't know how those signs came up there. And they're at either end. No postings in between. And I don't know if that's...
They've always been there. I've lived 80? That area. 80, yep.
80?
Yep. Most of our roads are 80.
But they're... Maybe I'm crazy. I've
it's
gone
a plain
down that
thing.
Road.
You know, we live on the plain, so that...
Okay, all right. I'm halfway through. I think also there were no postings in between. I don't know what the regulations are that you have to have the speed sign every so often. On Walker Road West, there's one every 20 feet almost to remind you to go at 40. And that's a hard one because you still feel you're like in a rural area because there's nothing on the other side, but it should be 40. Then there's other inconsistencies that St. Andrews goes from 70 to 60. Mountain View north of Charleston is 70. There are all these inconsistencies, but my take on it is make it simple. Slow down on the roads that have no shoulders and have no sight lines. Keep it at 60. That means basically north of Mayfield, or north of Baseline, everything stays 60. South of Baseline, there are better sight lines. Still no shoulders on the roads, and that there it can be 70 because you have better sight lines. that would be my wish. But the other thing is that I noticed, I'm not sure what this yellow line down the middle of the road means. Does it mean don't pass ever? Don't be careful. It seems like we're going to increase these road speeds, and we still don't have a thing over a hill saying don't pass. A double line. So I'm not sure what we're doing here. But what I'd like to do is suggest that we have, as you come into Caledon, you drive into Caledon, instead of having we are a composting community, that we have a sign saying, welcome to Caledon, welcome to Caledon, a go slow community. Please respect the posted limits. If you want to have a little more fun with it, you can say, welcome to Caledon, a slow downtown. Please respect the posted limits. But the main thing is, if there are no shoulders, you have to go slower. And it's not up to the drivers to decide that. There has to be posted limits. Otherwise, why have any speed limits at all? So I hope that council will not pass the increased speed limit report. And I'll be really happy then. And a lot of other people will too. And the last thing I want to say, and you said if there are increased deaths and stuff, you would take responsibility. I think it would be up to the consulting group to take that responsibility, because they are the ones trying to bend your ears. So, okay, 2 minutes left. What else do you want to know?
Thank you for your delegation, Pete. Right. Thank you for coming and making your voice heard.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me speak. So.
No problem.
All right, thanks.
I will now call on Mr. Loveridge.
So good afternoon, Council. And thank you, Mr. Patterson. Mr. Patterson, I had a number of conversations on a number of things over the last couple of years, and he's always been a pleasure to deal with. And in this case, thank him very much for making a lot of the points that I'll be making today in support of our proposal to you. And that wasn't the yellow line bit. So we wanted to, not going to go back over the presentation that our consultants made 2 weeks ago. That was, a hard technical presentation trying to get across the point of why we need a uniform speed limit policy across the town, which we've adopted as our guidelines, the TAC guidelines, but also to let you know where we think the best place is for us to go on the issue of speed limits. So the TAC methodology is a guideline that assists us in traffic engineering side with setting our posted speed limits. TAC itself, as we mentioned earlier, has been accepted by most municipalities across the province of Ontario. It's a change in how we set speed limits and what are the factors that are there. It's based on a lot of university research and a lot of experience that has been put together by the traffic engineering community across a lot of the municipalities in Ontario. The posted speed limit, as they say, and what they mentioned to you in their previous presentation, is a function of the road classification, so what type of road it is, whether it's a commuter road, a feeder road, a residential road. It talks about its physical characteristics, and so a lot of the conversation we had last presentation was about, have they gone out and driven the roads? The answer was yes. Have we gone out and driven the roads? The answer is yes. Did we take a look at the hills and the curves and the valleys and the trees and all of the things, all the factors that make the physical characteristic of the road? The answer to that is yes. Have we taken a look at the engineering factors that influence the level of risk? So are there dips and turns? Are there guide rails that are, could be an issue or whatever, or no guide rails, which could be an issue? And the answer to that is yes. We've taken a look at all the characteristics and put all of that information together using the TAC guidelines. The university research and studies have repeatedly shown that the posted speed limit does not affect the operating speed. And I was not a traffic person when I came here to the town of Caledon. And one of the hardest concepts for me to understand, even as an engineer and even as been working in this area, is this concept. It's really difficult to get your brain around it. Most people think that a speed limit posted is what people will drive because we're all good law-abiding citizens. And the reality is That's not the way it works. People drive based on how comfortable they feel driving that road. And we have lots and lots of examples, and I'm going to show some of them to you in a little bit later in my presentation. So the operating speed, the posted speed, will not affect the actual operating speed. No matter what speed limit I put on that road, if I put 20 kilometers an hour on that road, how many people are going to follow it? A few, okay? Not many. So motorists drive the speed that they feel comfortable driving at. And everyone has that own perception. And Mr. Patterson made some good points. I'm sitting on my sofa driving my great big Cadillac, you know, SUV. I'm going to follow, and I know that I got 22 airbags and a Bose 7-speaker system. I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable driving that speed than if I was sitting in a 1968 Hyundai Pony. So there's lots of factors are there. But drivers will drive the speed that they're comfortable at. So hard concept. Not trying to pander, I'm trying to just say it's difficult to understand how people will drive. So this has got a lot of words on it, and I'm not going to go through it line by line. So to provide a consistent approach, we asked our consultants to go away and study all of our roads. And we were looking for a couple basic things from them. Well, I guess maybe not so basic because they're turning a lot more complicated than I thought. We were looking for consistency. That was one of the issues that started this study. We wanted a methodology. We asked council to adopt that methodology, which was TAC, and then we took that methodology and we said to the consultant, go away and look at it, look at all of our roads, and tell us what speed limits our roads should have based on that methodology. So that's number one. And from that, we were hoping that we were going to get some consistency. And number two, we needed that applied to all the town roads because there were a lot of artificial speed limits that had been set in this town over the last 50, 60, 70 years, I don't know how long. And even somewhere we increased them to 80 kilometers, Mr. Patterson, no, just kidding. So where we had speed limits were out there. So one of the core messages out of the study was that we did all of the roads. That was important. So I needed to come back to you to say if we don't adopt this, what is it that we're going to do? And this is our staff recommendation to you. So if we don't, or we retain the current speed limits, or we don't adopt the ones that we're recommending in this study, some motorists are going to travel the speed limit. We know that. There's always going to be the compliant group that follows that. There's also always going to be the outliers. And Mr. Patterson talked about a couple of those outliers, the Lamborghini guy going by him at 120 kilometers. I think we've all been there, you know, tailgating on the end of my car, passing on a no passing lane, zooming off. And, you know, even the OPP, when we have the discussion with them about the speed limit review, they understood that this study is not about the outliers. The outliers will always be the outliers. And, you know, God bless them. We'll be after them as much as we can, and as many of the over 50 charges we can lay, the better. We need to ensure we go after those non-compliant. But a lot of people, if we artificially set speed limits, will be in non-compliance. And so the answer is, well, that's okay, fine them. But then we become Ontario's speed trap. And the reality is our roads are built for certain speeds. We talked in the last one that varied speeds result in aggressive driving behavior. Mr. Patterson just talked about his experience in the last 2 weeks. They're tailgating, they're passing in fog, they're going too fast. They're doing that because they see Mr. Patterson, and I've never driven behind Mr. Patterson, but see Mr. Patterson as an example of an individual that probably is compliant and drives the speed he feels comfortable at, and these people are driving and being more aggressive. And the result of that aggressive driving behavior is going to be more collisions on our roads. And so why we're presenting this new speed limit review is to say to you, we want to bring the road speed into form with our guidelines, and we want to make sure that we kind of crush down those safety issues. And finally, the last point I think that I'm going to make in the sense of what the effect is going to be, by not adopting this, we can stay where we are. That's fine. We've been here a long period of time now, but the effect will be is we will not have set of a guidelines or a barometer by which we can make changes to speed limits across this town. We will have a system. We will not have a system. I think that's the bottom line. There will be no system. So our proposal is that the speed limits should be reduced. The variance on the speed limits on the roads there are, sorry, the proposed speed limits should reduce the variance in speeds on the roads, thereby improving the overall safety and operation of our roadways. And why our staff and why Public Works is bringing forward is we believe that this will increase the safety on our roads. That's the only reason we're bringing this forward, okay? I asked staff to bring forward some examples of the speed limits on some of our roads today, and you can see they're strategically chosen, some of these roads, just to give you some idea of what's happening today. So you can see, and I don't really have the thing, but over here, do I have a mouse? No, I don't. So the post speed limit on most of these roads is 60, and there's one on Credit View, which is 50, and one on Mountain View. So the Credit View section is the horse country area. Mount Hope Road is cycling routes, and out on the west east side of town, Winston Churchill is one of our boundary roads. And Mountain View is where Mr. Patterson lives, so in that area. So we've strategically chosen these ones. But the examples here are really good. The posted speed limit 60. The 85th percentile on Queensgate, for example, is 59. People are following the speed limit, and they're actually driving what's there. We're asking that speed limit go down to 50, right? So that's a good example of where the speed reduction, where there's a speed reduction in place. Yes, the people are still traveling a little bit over that, but it's a good recommendation. On Winston Churchill, we showed you this the other day. The posted speed limit 70. People are traveling 97 on that road. We're saying we want to bring that up slightly to crush the traffic flow in, and we're recommending that road go up to 80 kilometers an hour. Again, people are traveling 97 on the 85th percentile, so they're traveling those speeds. Kennedy Road, 60, and both of those Kennedy Road sections, people are traveling 87 and 90. So it doesn't matter what speed limit I put there. If I put 50 there, people are still going to be traveling 87, 90. And that causes the safety issues that we've been talking to you about, tailgating, passing, doing all that. So those numbers are available. We have a bunch of them. We have them for all of them if we need to go there. I wanted to talk to you quickly about this. This is just one example, Mountain View Road. I don't know how we got to Mountain View, Mr. Patterson, but it just happens to be there. So here's an example. The posted speed limit on Mountain View is 60 kilometers an hour. The 85th percentile is 86. We're asking that road go up to 70. We think that's a reasonable ability for us to crush this curve. So those are the major points that I wanted to make today. I didn't want to go through the study top to bottom. Staff is bringing this forward for no other reason, but we think it's going to increase the safety on the road. If you agree with this, we still have some steps to go. We need to implement this across the town, and we can't do that in one step. It's going to take us some time, and we're going to communicate to the council, back to you. We're going to communicate to our residents. We have to bring a traffic bylaw amendment forward later, sometime in early 16, and when we bring that amendment forward, we're going to come with our plan on how we're going to roll out and implement it. We're going to continue to collect traffic data. We're not just putting this in place and leaving it alone. Part of what we do is we collect the data, and we're going to compare those where we made changes. We're going to watch those areas and make sure that it hasn't affected the behavior of the people on those roads. So that's kind of my presentation, Mayor. Okay. And I hope I've highlighted the areas that were of some concern.
Mr. Leverage, if you can stand there, I think just with the nature of your report and what's in RB2, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring the motion forward.
Okay.
And then we can... Because I think there's so much crossover, there's no point in just doing the delegation because we're going to be into the report anyway. Okay? So moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Misipelli, that the report PW 2015-085 regarding townwide speed limit review, the final report be received. That the recommendations regarding the speed limit changes outlined in Appendix D to the staff report PW 2015-085 be approved. And that the copy of the staff report, PW 2015-085, be forwarded to the Region Appeals Municipalities under next steps, and the Ontario Provincial Police, the OPP, for their information. That the Director of Public Works report back to Council, both on detailed implementation plan and required traffic amendments. Okay. Now I'm going to go to questions, and Councillor Shaughnessy, you're the first on the board.
Fancy that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Loveridge. Okay, so since I know some weren't here at the last meeting and this got deferred, but I've gone and done some extra work on this since that last council meeting. But just for those who weren't here, just quickly summing it up, why I didn't support it, and David knows this, so he's not getting blindsided here, I told him, was one, because of the equestrian community, two, that they didn't take into consideration the trails that cross those roads, the farm equipment moving out, the lack of lights. Cycling happens on all our roads, even my Kennedy Road, which is completely dirt. I don't know why they come down, but they do. And the fact that we have no shoulders, no sidewalks. So that was all the reasons why I didn't support the report, because that was not factored into that. But I did check on a couple of things as far as whether this about the speed, because something was said, and I remember Councillor McClure was upset because he heard that tickets were getting lowered down because of our speed limits on our roads. So I did talk to the police to clarify that. And they said the problem they have, and we took Old Baseline, was that Old Baseline's 80 and then goes 70 and then back up to 80 and comes back down to 50. So people say, oh, I didn't see the 70 sign. So the ticket gets knocked down in that respect. But if our roads are a consistent speed from one major intersection to the other major intersection, we get rid of that argument. Mm-hmm. So that was with talking to the police. The other thing the police did say to me, and I only spoke on behalf of Ward 1's road systems, was that they felt that they needed to be evaluated individually. So that's another reason why I can't support. But they said something interesting to me, too, which they said when we were looking at the speed limits, it was really important that we should have looked at the stop sign situation at the same time, because sometimes those items go hand in hand. And they brought up the Grange side road and the inconsistencies in the stop lines there and the raising of speeds on a couple of roads that have no stop coming down very dangerous hill. So for me, in the future, I would like to see that being addressed at the same time our speeds are being addressed, because I think that makes sense. So you know already, David, I don't support it, so I won't beat you up on it, but I'll let my other counselors speak to it. I know I was giving, he just wants to comment, but.
Mr. Loveridge.
Thank you for the opportunity to comment, Mr. Mayor. So any individual road councillor, and you're fully aware, Ryan and his team work hard. If there's individual issues on roads, we're the first people to step to the plate to come out there to take a look at it, to try and find solutions to make that particular road safe. And so, you know, I've asked you today to, you know, to have an open mind and take a look that we're looking at increasing the safety across the roads all of the town, and with a commitment that if we need to look at individual roads like the Grange, we're more than willing to do that. And we'll be able to do that if we still have a speed limit policy that's in effect. So I'll leave it at that.
David, I'd love to have you review my roads no matter what, because I do think there's some inconsistencies in signage going up and down, and I don't agree with that because that would solve the police issue. But that's enough said.
That's enough.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Befford.
Thank you. You talked about it's hard to get your head around it if you haven't been used to this, and that's exactly the position I'm in, and I wish we didn't have to make a decision. I wish we used this as a base to move forward, because there's a lot here.
There's a lot.
I did an informal survey in my newsletter. It's not terrific, but I got quite a few responses, and the responses are basically 75% leave it the way it is, and 25% I'm open to increasing it.
Yep.
I did some personal work on the roads, one of which was setting my speed control at 10 kilometers above the currently posted speed limit and driving some of these roads like Mountain View. And I'll tell you, at 70 kilometers an hour on certain parts of those roads, not all, but certain parts of those roads, I felt personally that it was dangerous. If you're at the top of a hill, the crest of a hill, it's a very narrow road, and you don't know who's coming the other way. I just felt that it was uncomfortable. not very technical, but I felt that way. And so, again, I just wish we had a bit more time. One of the issues that I realized as I went through the process was that a lot of our roads are in not good repair. And we have put a lot of, filler in the potholes. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I noticed on the speed control when I was paying strict attention to how the car was operating. I was being pulled. I was being pulled by some of those potholes where the material is above the top of the road. And when you combine that on Kennedy Road from Highway 9 down to High Point, no problem. You just resurface it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I can see what you're saying. If you go on the hill south of High Point, south on Kennedy, and do the same thing, your car gets pulled because that road hasn't been touched. And I don't know when it will be touched. So I guess that's one of the things that if we're going to get into this program, it's not going to be done overnight. And I would like you to consider not changing some of the speed limits until you've actually done the road, because it does make a difference. I can't support it at this time. One of the comments you made up here is regarding communication. And I know you probably won't like it, but I wish we could take just a step back and send out an official review to our general public, not everybody, but randomly, and get an overall view of what they think. Because my job is to represent my residents. So when I see 75 for, 25 against, I have to consider that. And I'm not used to the TAC plan.
Yeah.
And I may, if you say it another 10 times, I might get there. Mm-hmm. But Pete said it himself. It's hard to get your head around it. So those are my comments. And at the moment, I can't support. If I could wait, I don't know how long, Dave. But, certainly the communication. People were really interested when we talked about this. They were interested in all of the things that you mentioned and said, I didn't know that that was the case, that people actually will travel at a safe speed for them. And maybe we need to get that out there before we make this decision, and then you've got a little bit more support. But I can't support it the way it is, and those are the reasons why.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer?
Thanks. What does the region use?
TAC.
So explain to me why the new bypass is posted at 70 when there's no one house on it, a wide road, wider shoulders, guardrails, the whole kit and caboodle. And then it drops to 60 as it gets in and around past the last turnaround.
Okay. So, Councillor, so the, Ryan has indicated that they're using the methodology Northwest, but they're in the process right now of moving to TAC. So right now they're still on the old system, Northwest, which they've been using for years, and they're moving over to TAC now. I thought they'd already moved over.
But this is a brand-new road. Would they not have posted it with the new standard?
If their system is still under Northwest, they would have used the Northwest methodology to set those speed limits. So if they had probably redone that under TAC, or if they're going to go into a process of redoing it under TAC, it would probably come up with a separate set of guidelines or a separate speed limits in there.
Might have.
Well, they haven't done it yet, Councillor, so
might have.
The possibility exists that it could.
The whole idea of consistency, when I first talked to you about this exercise, it was an understanding of consistency, and I don't have a problem with that because I've seen the same thing. It's consistency. But this took it the totally other direction. I also asked for the gravel roads. We have a lot of unposted gravel roads. So now, by not supporting this, are we not going to get the gravel roads posted? My question. If we don't support this, are we going to get any of it implemented? Because the gravel road should have always been automatically posted at 60 or 50.
So, through you, Mayor Thompson, so Councillor DeBoer, speed limits across the town have a standard. So if unposted, the speed limit is 80 kilometers unless otherwise posted. And in the urban areas, I think we still have this 50 unless otherwise posted. So that's what our current speed limits are across the town. We want to shift that so that all of our urban areas are 40 kilometers an hour. And as part of the program, or part of what we've done under TAC, doing the same evaluation, all of those gravel roads would be reduced down to 60 kilometers per hour. Now, can we still go out and post each one of those roads 60 if we want? The answer is an absolute yes. It's not as black and white as saying, you know, if we don't accept this proposal or this study, I'm saying to you we won't have a system in place that's consistent across the boards. That's why we asked council at the beginning before we went to do this study. We wanted to accept the TAC guidelines, and we explained what TAC was and how it was used and what it was used for. So the study didn't take a side turn and go anywhere else. When we went out to the study, we asked them to look at all of our roads and give us a recommendation on the speed limits based on the TAC guidelines. That didn't go sideways. The TAC guidelines and all of the review that was done gave us speed limits across the town, fundamentally lowering a good number of the speed limits across the town and providing some consistency. Part of that consistency is bringing some of the speed limits up. It's not a plot, it's not a plan, it's just some of those speed limits are going to go up. We're not all going to be in agreement with that, but it's providing with us with a system that's consistent. And so if we don't approve this, and that, you know, this is my job is to bring you the best professional advice we can. It's your job to accept it or to reject it. Either way, if you say no to this study and no to the proposal that's on the table, we're still where we are today, and the earth still turns and the sun still rises. But as we get into those issues that you spoke of, whether it's the gravel roads or whatever, then we'll be coming forward with report after report, you know, as the complaints come in to say we want to lower the speed limit to such and such on this road. So, you know, it's a core decision, I think, for us moving forward. It makes our life easier. It makes our speed limits more defendable, but it's not life and death. So we just think it'll make our roads safer.
Well, and that's a fine statement for you to make. But the reality is that when you start looking at it from somebody who lives in the rural network, mm-hmm. the whole exercise seems to be flawed. When you start looking at, I think, the Caledon King Town line wanting to go to 80. We already have people that can't come out of Columbia Way at the artificial 80 that it is now. To move it to 80 would make it that much harder because they can't get out on the traffic because the traffic moves too quickly. We've already got a stop sign at the top of the hill that people miss because they're driving too fast at the unofficial 80 because they just don't know enough to stop because people are, like we already heard, are very comfortable in their cars, and the cars are very safe, so they feel comfortable. It's the person that's on the side of the road. It's the kids that are waiting for the bus. It's the bus that stops between two hollows to pick up the kids that the person coming up the road at 60, 70, or 80, if it's posted 60, they're doing 80, and they're the ones that run into the cars. And now to turn around and raise the speed limit on these roads, it becomes a question of where it works. When you talk about lowering the speed limit on Queensgate, there's no houses on Queensgate. It's a four-lane road. It's got sidewalks on both sides, and it's a fairly wide profile, mm-hmm. and we're lowering the speed limit. When we look at the rural network in the north part of Caledon, which is anything essentially north of Castleberg Side Road, north of Volt Base Line, where you've got lots of hills, the conversation this past weekend was you got cars and tractors that can be behind a hill, and a car comes up the road thinking, well, the speed limit is posted at 70. I'm going to drive my comfortable 15 over. They come over the hill, and all of a sudden there's a farm tractor sitting on the road or trying to get out of a field onto the road. We've got a rural network, and it's also a residential area that is the through road for a lot of people wanting to just get to work. That's where the 91 comes from on the King Caledon Town Line. My question isn't, let's raise the speed limit up. My question is we should be sending more enforcement there because the road's carrying more traffic than it should ever have to carry, only because the province never built a 400 series highway to take the traffic. And we got people living on that road.
Okay. So through Mayor Thompson, Councillor DeBoer, you made some really good points there, and I think that's worth investigating or discussing a couple of them. The issue of not being able to get out on the Caledon King line and people blowing the stop sign, that is one of, is the signage appropriate? Does there need to be a light there? Is there problems with the intersection that we need to take a look at? We need to take a look at the number of accidents occur in that area and to say, is this a higher than normal accident area or near miss, whatever we want to call it? And so saying that that's a pure result of the speed limit, I would have to say I'm not necessarily 100% in agreement with it. Could it, speed be a factor? The answer is probably yes. But are there other alternatives for dealing with people blowing through that intersection? And I know exactly where you've been. I've seen them do it. That's an issue that we should deal separately with from speed limits. As for the speed limit on the road, you're in a rural area. My point is, and you almost reverse made my point, Councillor, Cal and King Line, the 85th is 91. The speed limit is posted at 60. So no matter what I post that speed limit, people are already traveling 91. How do we make that road safer? We are not, this is where the mind-bending stuff I keep coming back around is, reducing the speed limit will only make it a bigger speed trap. It will not affect the behavior of the drivers who are already driving 91 kilometers. So then you have to ask from, and it's not easy for me to say, it's just take a look. Is it better for us to adjust the speed on that road to make it safer for all the residents? And the issue of people having driveways onto it, that's a factor that was done in the road design and how it was reviewed. But is it better off for us to make the road safer by bringing those speed limits more in line? That's the issue. And there are always going to be some individual. And look at your road, for example, Mount Hope. They're traveling 90 on a 60 road now. And now that it's been repaved, probably going to be traveling higher than 90. Yeah,
and they shouldn't be, because there's a lot of hills.
I agree.
And the people feel comfortable because of the cars and the road condition, but that doesn't mean that it makes it right, because we have people that live on that road.
Yeah. But a speed limit won't change that, Councillor.
The speed limit will change it if it's enforced, and we shouldn't be looking at increasing the speed limit to the detriment. I've got lots of residents on the Caledon King Town Line. I only worry about my own road. Yeah. Caledon King Town Line, I've got a whole group of houses toward the north end of it. They try to make a left-hand turn at night to go home, and they get passed by cars that are in too big of a hurry. Mm-hmm. In the mornings, they can't get out of their laneways because they've got a steady stream of traffic coming down, traveling at a fairly high rate of speed. Yeah. And all we're going to do is post it at a higher speed. How do I justify that to my residents? Yeah. I can't. And that's the problem. And I disagree with saying that just because the people drive that speed, that means that the posted speed limit should be there. The reality is these roads belong to us as rural residents, because there are pedestrian linkage. There are walkway. If we want to go for a walk in the evening, we want to drive to the trailway.
Yeah.
No, we should be able to walk out of our inner laneway and feel comfortable to be able to walk down the shoulder of the road, walking the way we've always been taught, facing traffic. And we shouldn't have to have cars dodging us or coming over a hill all of a sudden.
And so I agree with all of those points, Councillor, except for one, which is that lowering the speed limit will lower the speed being traveled.
Lower the speed limit if the police enforce it at 91. My question will always be to the detachment commander. Get out there, and I know for a fact you'll go out there, and they can put cars on all the roads, and they do, and they get tickets, and it slows it down. And we just got to keep doing it. And the whole question of whether we need to be looking at some other method of enforcement makes a whole lot more sense, because we have people that live here, not just travel through it.
I agree.
Okay. Councilor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I appreciate the report, and I will state that I support it. When it's not very often that we get a report from staff, and I don't know if you can go to the slide, Mr. Loveridge, where in bold it states, no, it's at the end of your presentation, I believe. There. That staff strongly believe, so we're talking from our staff who have a transportation department, who have contracted a transportation engineering firm to help us with this. And through all of that, I am hearing, as a layperson, and I will admit I'm a layperson, as I would suggest all of council is, respecting the fact that we represent our constituents, I get that. Staff strongly believe that the results will be favorable and that these changes will improve safety in the town roads. I don't think there's a member of this council that would not want what is suggested there. I know. There isn't a member of this council that wouldn't want what is suggested there. And that is how, and again, even though it requires me to wrap my head around it because I had to, that last line is where my end game is. And I want to support what will provide that. So when I see data that suggests the 85th percentile is upwards of 30 kilometers over the posted speed limit, and I ask the consultant, and I will ask again, either through you or through to the consultant, is in conditions like that, where the posted speed limit is actually raised, so say, for example, you're in a 60 and people are doing 90, and through TAC it goes to a 70, is the 85th percentile then 90? Or, sorry, 100?
Yeah. So through you, Mayor Thompson, and that question was asked of the consultant when they were here 2 weeks ago, and study after study says that by bringing the speed limit up that 10 to 70, if the 85th percentile was 86, a study and a review of the road after it went up to 70 kilometers an hour, the 85th percentile had not moved. Because it comes back to the principle that people travel the speed they feel comfortable at. It's irrelevant what the speed limit is. The only thing that difference is when we bring the speed limit up, now we'll clearly define, you now we'll know what the proper speed is or should be based on those guidelines, and it gives us a more targeted approach for speed enforcement.
Okay. And I fully acknowledge Councillor DeBoer's comments about people live on these roads.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're not solely for the purpose of those who are driving through Caledon. They are and should be safe to those who live in Caledon. I fully get that and made the point very valid about enforcement. If we have an 85th percentile that's going 30 kilometers over a posted speed limit, then we do need enforcement.
I agree.
The point I would like to make is that, yes, get some more enforcement in there, but all of those moments in time when there is not enforcement there, because they can't be there every day all the time, we have a situation where we have, because the posted speed limit is suggested to be lower than what the characteristics of the road would suggest, then we create that wider diversity of speeds, which is a risk unto itself.
Absolutely.
And that will be in place all the times. The police won't be there to pull over those that are doing 30 over. Mm-hmm. And I look at that and say, that is the risk we are taking. Because more often than not, the police are not on the road to enforce. They are spread across our entire town. So I look at that as well. One question I had is, and I have looked at the report, and I see 15 municipalities were surveyed and responded, I believe. And I do see some of similar character to Caledon. Willamond, Grimsby, Orangeville, New Tecumseh, Erin, Halton Hills, and the like. And I further read that 67% of surveyed municipalities use TAC. Mm-hmm. Do we have data that suggests, ideally from a similar community to ours, that when implementing TAC, and there were instances similar to as proposed here, where the posted speed limit be raised 10 kilometers, is there data that actually suggests the speed limit didn't go up? It actually, as you said, crunched that curve, but did not did not result in an increase in the 85th percentile.
Okay. So through you, Mayor Thompson. So I'll answer sort of our 2 points. So I'll do the second one first. So again, we asked that question last time of our SEMA representatives. And if you remember, the second individual came up to the counter at the time. He's one of the senior partners at CMA. He's got a doctorate in traffic engineering. I mean, he's well. And he said that all of the studies of municipalities that made those changes, that there was no perceptible change in the 85th percentile speed limit. So that sort of is as quick of 5-second soundbite as you can get on that question. And I think on the other point, I'm 100% with Councillor DeBoer. I lived on the Gore, and the Gore is a freeway of the first order. A speed limit on the Gore just outside my house was 60. Nobody was traveling 60 on the Gore. And so it's a challenge when you live there. You're worried about every time you come in and come out. And I get that point, and I agree 100% with it. But the speed limit is not the driving factor for what people are driving. And so that's the hard part. So hopefully I answered both
indeed,
those questions.
Indeed it did. Because it's natural to to expect that if you increase the posted speed limit, you're going to increase the speed on those roads. And that is the basis upon which all the concerns, legitimately so, are founded.
Yeah.
And I've asked the questions that have, to me, suggested that that is not the case. We have an issue with people, like you call it, those outliers. When you get 85th percentile that are that far outside at those rates of speed, yeah. Like you said, we're barking up the wrong tree.
They're not the outliers. The outliers are the ones
that's right,
that are
they're
doing
above 100.
That. They're doing 100, 110 yeah. on that 60 road.
Yeah, point taken. And I was also the fourth bullet there was very pleased to see that is if this were to pass, is we're not just going to leave it and presume that it is going to unfold as we expect it to, and it has been done in other municipalities, but that we will monitor it and ensure that that's the case. And I would expect that if we did see that there was an increase, that we would do what's required to bring that back. And to reel that in. So I was very pleased to see that because I had that down as one of my questions. Last question for myself is, in the report it talks about what we currently use, which is the rural road speed limit policy. I don't know what that means. Does it use the 85th percentile and then sign based on that? The follow-up question would be, are the posted speed limits that we have across Caledon entirely reflective of that policy?
So I'm going to hand that over to Ryan here to answer that question, if that's all right, Mayor. Okay.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to you, Councillor Mezzapelli. The previous speed limit policy that the town had dating back to 2005 used a variety of characteristics, including land uses, but it also did consider the 85th percentile. Was it applied vastly across our road network? The answer to that is no.
Okay, and am I fair to suggest that where it wasn't followed, that we posted lower speed limits in those cases?
There are the possibility that there are some speed limits out there that were not in accordance with that policy or were simply decided on potentially at council. Correct.
Okay, so for myself, Mayor Thompson, and I'm sticking my neck out here, but I'm comfortable doing that
so
because my desire is to get our roads safer. And I believe what the consultant and staff are suggesting will do that. I'm a layperson, and I rely on the expertise of staff and consultants to direct us, and I will be supporting this. Thank you.
Councilor Ennis.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'll try to be quick because I know that Councilor Bradford would like to vote on this matter, and he has to leave shortly. So I live on a regional road. And 3 to 4 mornings a week, I'm there putting my kids on and off the school bus. Mm-hmm. And once a week, guaranteed, without fail, somebody is going through the school bus lights.
Yep.
And that is on a road where you can see for quite a distance before you're getting to my driveway, which gives me great concern because many of the residents that I have in my ward, it's winding up and down hills, and they're in valleys and glens, and you can't see the school bus until it's too late. So my concern is that some of these speed posted limits don't take into consideration the number of children that are getting on and off school buses, the number of farm equipment that uses those sections of roads. We have multiple properties and I can think in the last 2 years we've had 3 incidents with our farm equipment, and one of them was with the OPP directly,
mm-hmm.
and that is a result of speed and the topography of the roads. So that's a huge concern for me. More so, we're talking about the speed of which the 85 percentile of people feel comfortable traveling at. Let's take that into perspective and say that 70% of those people are not our residents. They're not the people that live here. They don't care about the school buses. They don't have as vested interest as we do, as the people that are cycling on our roads, the kids that are getting on and off the school bus, et cetera, et cetera. So I can't support this recommendation at this point in time because I don't think that it's fully comprehensive in including and ensuring that the criteria that we need to meet the safety, the full safety of our residents and well-being is there. I think that what we need to be doing is taking this data that we've collected and going to the OPP and saying there are some sections of roads that need some serious enforcement, and that should be the direction that this council is taking.
Okay, Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson. I think we can all go into a story about where we live and what our roads are like. I live on Heart Lake Road, and up until the bypass was put on, there was 10,000 cars a road a day on my road. The median speed on my road is 101, and the posted speed limit is 80. So I think the bottom line is on the west side and the east side, if the 410 and the 427 went to Highway 9, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation at all, and we would be moving ahead with staff's recommendation to keep our roads safe, which is why I will be supporting this report. I'd also like to say that with Councillor Mezzapelli, I agree with your sentiments, and I think that at the end of the day, when our staff is saying to us that this will improve safety on our roads, we need to listen to that and take that into consideration. My question, I guess, to you would be, how can we implement, if there are council members that aren't in support, ward-specific, how can we support this within our own wards? I know that every point in this report is exactly what my residents have been asking me for the last year. And to me to go back to them and say, you know what, this didn't pass, so sorry about your neighborhood, but it's still 60, not 40. I'm going to get a lot of heat from that, just like Councillor DeBoer will take a lot of heat for, Mountain View being going up. So how can we take this information and apply it ward-specific?
So through you, Mayor Thompson, and I think I've made the point both with Councillor Shaughnessy and others this afternoon. If there are very specific issues, and the example with Councillor DeBoer on Mount Hope and Columbia, where the intersection is, where we have issues, I think we're better to have a consistent policy and then start to address the specific anomalies or high areas of concern one by one. And I know that Ryan and Dean, as they go through those, they use a process, they ensure it, and we make a lot of changes through that process. So I hope that answers your question.
No.
Just hold on. She's still talking.
Okay. So that being said, by not adopting this report, it would be our staff time, resources, going out and doing it one by one, report by one report. So then this council can expect a list of reports coming out of Ward 2 to bring all of our roads into this alignment in the new year?
I would hope not, Councillor, but if that's the result, then it becomes a resource issue. So.
Councillor Shaughnessy, real quick.
We were just going to say let's call the question because we know Mr. Befford has to leave.
Yeah. I'm going to say one thing before it goes. What Councillor DeBoer, I hear what Councillor Ennis. The school bus, especially when kids are crossing the road. I've lived this my whole life. Since I'm 54 and I've driven these roads, nothing has changed. I've dealt with what everybody's talking about here in my area, and it's not got any better. People have lost respect. You know what's happened in time? Is people have lost respect. They think driving is a right, not a privilege. That is the first big thing that's gone wrong here. If you want to get things under control, it's photo radar. Lowering the speed limits or doing what is being asked of you is wrong. You've got a good report. We need to support it. Police enforcement and everything else needs to happen. We need to bring drivers back with respect. It's anywhere. People have no respect for anything. Gravel roads, I remember all my years that I started out driving 80 kilometers. If I drove too fast, like I drove like Peter Patterson, I had a similar vehicle. If I went too fast or hit a pothole, all the doors flew open. I mean, the reality is people, you're right, the vehicles got new, and I almost make jokes about the Beamers. People are entitlement. And I'm sorry, Councillor Befford, but I want to put my stance out there. This is not going to solve the problem. It's going to take common sense and respect for one another out on the road. When you're out there, you got to look at what everybody else is doing. And until drivers start to learn that, doesn't matter what you do, it's not going to happen. Thank you for the report. I'm going to call the vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. All those in favor, please stand. Councillor Mezzapelli, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Downey, those opposed? Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Innes, Councillor Befford, Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Groves, the motion fails.
Okay, we'll go on to RB3. No, we've done that one. RB. Oh,
Okay. Ms. Barocci, do you want to come and do your delegation next? I got to find where I am here.
Thank you, girl. Okay, just let me... So I just want to touch base on this photo radar thing. I'm totally against photo radar. My husband took my car, and I wound up getting the ticket, and I had to go to court. So I don't agree with photo radar. What I do agree with, and if I may suggest, do blitzes. Do blitzes like they do stop sign blitzes. But I'm not here to talk about that. I just thought I'd throw my 2 cents in there. Procedural bylaw. Good afternoon, Mayor Thompson, council, staff, and members of public. My name is Sherry Barocci, and I'm a resident of Caledon. Firstly, I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone involved in the process in creating the revised bylaw. Yeah, I haven't even started yet. However, there is one thing that weighs heavy on my heart in this bylaw, and that is before you today, and that is the minutes. Yes, I am aware of what the Municipal Act says under Section 228, but I believe we as Caledon can do better, be proactive, and not reactive, and be more open with everyone. I would encourage Council to take the leadership role here and include full dialogue in Caledon's minutes. Your audio is great. I congratulate you, Mayor Thompson, and Council for implementing this. However, your minutes do take precedence over your audio. Let's go back to today's meeting, and Mayor Thompson brought up a very good point that he was talking to a business owner and wanted to bring things forward to reassure the business and get it on the record. The way your minutes are written right now, it will never show up on the minutes. So I just wanted, this is my one of my reasons why I am so adamant or trying to be adamant about including more detail in our minutes. I pulled out a couple of minutes in this last month on Wednesday, December 9th, at a public information meeting, and here they are right here. Feel free, because they're in your correspondence. They might be in your package. I'm not sure. But under public comments, a member of council asked a question and received a response from town staff. Well, that's awesome, but what was the question, and what was the answer? So, and it will eliminate staff time as well of people following up. The second thing I did notice at a council meeting was the same thing, that people were asking questions. There was a gentleman in public questionnaire asked a question. Town staff gave responses. There was nothing recorded. So where I'm going with this is the fact that, A, it could alleviate, number one, delegation, because if I heard that, if I read that in the minutes or whatever, I wouldn't be delegating sometimes. And that might be a thorn in your side, and I apologize for that, but it is what it is. So here are a few reasons why I strongly encourage this and to help create efficiency in the committee level and the council level. If I'm speaking with my own councillors or even the mayor and ask them to raise something and or congratulate you guys all or whatever, it is now on the record, and this is why I'm asking for details. It's a learning tool for many people. There's more clarity out there. There is no misrepresentation, and because I know that there's people said, yeah, I heard what he said, or yeah, I asked what she said, and this is the answer. And then it turned out to be, no, that's not what the question was that I asked, and no, that's not what the answer was that, like, what town staff, because I just got a totally different answer from staff. So there's a little bit of discrepancy there, and this is why I'm asking for full disclosure in the minutes. And again, it's on the record. Council said many times and many occasions about accountability and transparency. My suggestion today about detailing the minutes, like the region does, is a fantastic opportunity to do so. I would encourage council to really, really consider this. Just a couple more things. Carrie, Laura, and Barbara, I personally want to thank you for allowing me to have the dialogue with you. And yes, we all did not agree on things, but you know what? For the most part, we sacrificed on both sides, and that is what created the successfulness of this document. There was only one more thing. Actually, there's two. But and that is the minutes, and is one thing. The second thing is, and if I may ask, is the agendas. So today's package was extraordinarily big, and Friday I got the agenda at 3. It's Christmas time, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't read the full reports. I guess my question to you guys is, did you actually read the whole documents every single time? So helping council and helping members of public, would it be possible to bring the agenda a few days a little bit earlier? And that's pretty much all I have to say. Once again, thank you to the clerk's office. And any questions or answers? And I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and
okay,
a Happy New Year.
A couple of questions
and
here.
You're not even listening.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to ask, because I don't know if Ms. Barocci is going to stay with us or not, could we move the motion forward that I was going to speak on just a little bit earlier? So, because I think part of what she's asking is addressed in this motion. That does it matter?
Through your worship, yes. To Councillor Shaughnessy, it's up to council if they wish to change the agenda around during the...
So you have a notice of motion?
That I was going to read, but since she's here, I'd be happy to read it now if council approved.
Okay, not right now. We'll have to go through, but we can bring that up quick.
Okay.
Okay?
I have like a couple minutes. Can I just say one thing? I found this on Google. It's your minutes from a few years ago, and I'm going to be honest with you. I actually was quite shocked. I actually saw that the actual full discussion is here. Councillors asked questions. The question was in the minutes. The answers from staff was in the minutes. So we used to do this, and now we don't. And this is why I'm asking what I'm asking. Thank you.
Thank you. No further questions. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go on to RB4. Is Sarah here? Oh, there she is. Okay, I'm going to ask everybody to, on council plan engagement, we'll bring that forward. I need a seconder for this motion. I got Councillor Innes here. Councillor Shaughnessy, thank you. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Shaughnessy, that the report CEO 2015-030 regarding council work plan, CWP, final engagements be received, and that the work plan be finalized based on the 2016 budget approval. Okay. Any questions? I've got one. And could I ask Ms. Beckford if you could please come forward? I notice you've gone the 1, 2, 3, but I think there's been quite a few here that did get answered and some that didn't, and there's a difference in the two. So when you're only picking the top three is concerning me, and I know it'll concern some of the residents, especially some like I'll use like with seniors and different things that are they going to be ignored when you've just only recommended what the top three are. It was interesting on the cross section, but it also shows gaps between the east and the west as well, right? So I think there's a lot of good information here, and I'm just hoping we're just not going to the first three recommendations and then all the other data is being lost.
No, through you, Mayor Thompson. The intention of this report is really just to show the top three priority areas. All the priority areas are within the work plan. None of them are really being prioritized as such. It's just for ease of trying to get the material to you in a succinct format. The top three were shown to you. But no, all the priority areas are as they stand, and there's really no prioritization.
Okay. It's just when I read the executive summary made me concerned. Okay. All right. Councillor Shaughnessy. See, you got a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I read the report and I really found it very interesting. I got to stick my glasses on. I wrote notes over the weekend. I actually liked how you broke down the sessions and with one in Bolton, the one in Inglewood, and then the staff lunch. But what I found very interesting is in Bolton, where they have recreation, that wasn't a priority to them. And in Inglewood, where there is no recreation, recreation was a priority. So it's kind of interesting how that breaks down geographically. Also, growth is a major concern for everybody. But did people understand what we were talking about when we talked about growth? Because I know when I think about growth, I think of not just population numbers, but how that highway was going to affect us from a growth perspective. And if you talk about Bolton really needs more population. And if I talk to the west side of Caledon, they don't really want the population, but they also didn't want that highway. So just wondering if there had to be any explanation on the growth.
Well, Councillor Shaughnessy, if you looked at it, there was about 4 points on that growth thing, and you could tell people were putting the check marks beside it.
Yeah, and just wondered if that was...
Oh, I see where you're going.
No, I was just wondering if she took that into account. Sorry, I shouldn't have said she. I apologize. And then just the other thing about the seniors, because I thought about that too, Mr. Mayor, why they were scoring so low. But we did have them in recreational centers. If we'd gone to an old age home, I'm sure we would have got lots of seniors. So sometimes location of and availability can skew those numbers. So for my seniors, I just don't want to... I think they are a priority right across the whole town of Caledon, but I think that might have skewed. If I wanted to find out about sports and I only went to Paul Grave Equestrian Center, I'm sure horses would come out top of the list. So is there any way... Sorry, is there any way that that can be adjusted?
Sarah?
Just thinking. Sorry, Sarah.
I think this was just out of what our sessions were, right?
Yeah, through you, Mayor Thompson, this is really an opportunity to report back on what we've heard. In my opinion, it is now in your hands to take this and to do with it what you would like. And if you have any further recommendations on tweaking the plan as a result of these findings, that's entirely up to you to let me know. But I would just reiterate that just because seniors housing was lower on the list doesn't really change the actual plan nor the actions. It's just what we've heard, and you're totally right about the location. And just regarding your growth comment, you'll see in Schedule A that there were a couple people who actually mentioned infrastructure and growth together, and that was a comment that maybe two or three people mentioned, and I think it was at the Caledon Center for Recreation and Wellness in Bolton. So I think they got the growth, and they also understood the effects of growth by ensuring that we have enough roads or community centers or whatever to accommodate the growth. So.
Okay, I think Ms. Johnson, our CEO, wants to speak to that.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. And just to emphasize what Sarah is saying, I think the big thing that we need to remember out of these engagement sessions is that the work plan priorities and our action items were validated by the community and by our staff. And that really is the big message that I would take away from this. Where they landed with the scorecard is one thing, but there wasn't any new items added. There were no gaps spoken about. So I think we've nailed it, and I think that's what we've heard from these engagements.
Okay. All right. I got two more questions here for you. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Sarah, for the report. Very well done. I just wanted to provide my take, and I have consulted deeply with my community. And Councillor Shaughnessy's point about growth being number one in at the CCRW, when we pulled the public input there. I would just put out there that because growth is selected doesn't necessarily make an indication of, oh, we want growth, growth, growth. And I think the fact that number two is protection of a rural environment in Bolton is an indication of that. And I took photos of the boards. And I think the third one, 2016-17 timeframe, actually talked about controlled and managed growth. So I wanted to clarify that my opinion, the sentiment in Bolton is let's grow Bolton and Caledon like a town. And so I didn't want the impression to get out there that explosive type of, and again, the fact that protecting the rural environment is there second is indicative of that.
If I could just add, sorry, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Mezzapelli, I had that conversation with a couple of residents, and actually even in Inglewood I had that same conversation. We got a great turnout, so it was hard to engage with every person, or we would have been there forever. But a couple of residents did come up to me and say, what do you mean by growth? Like, is this pro-growth? And I'm like, no, you're not. By putting a check mark, you're not saying yay to growth. You're saying that growth is an issue. And I gave them that, I made sure that that was clear, and that's, I think, sometimes when they then went to the protection of rural environment or added their yellow sticky to kind of ensure that that comment was heard loud and clear.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. When we start with next steps, there'll be a number of items I gather within the budget that relate back to some of this information. Did you have a chance to get things inserted in there or specifically, or I guess that's the question. And then are they highlighted? Because I really, like reading here, I can kind of pick a few of them out, but I don't know if they're highlighted totally out of that.
Ms. Tollett?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, in the individual business plans for each department, they linked their goals for 2016 to the council work plan. So the ones that were attributed to the work plan were identified in there. There's a lot of the goals and things included in the council work plan in the 2016 budget, in the funded and some in the unfunded list, but majority in the funded list.
So the majority of them we'll find within the funded project.
Correct. Okay. So if you look at the business plans, there's a, towards the end of each business plan in the individual budget binders, staff had linked the council work plan to the goals for next year.
Okay. I'm always kind of, I think we've been kind of interested lately about the opinion of staff, and this is the one that I found very interesting when I had a look at it. And I know senior housing is a consideration, I imagine. I don't know what the blend of your people were that you were interviewing with staff, but I would wonder, you know, is that primarily within the planning department, planning area that came up with that suggestion or that concern? And then the other one I think is very important in this comprehensive new employee orientation on board program. And to me, I would think that that would be something very easy that could be implemented across the board if that's identified as a number two on new employees. So.
Yeah, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor DeBoer. I just want to say the staff lunch and learns were a real mix. I wouldn't say there were people like from any particular department. We had a great turnout, almost 40 at each. People were really engaged. And the style for that engagement was the check mark. We wanted to be really consistent with the way in which we engage the public versus staff. But we also felt that because we were talking so much about the work plan, we really also wanted to dig down a bit into the actions. So that's the result of the top 10 actions indicated by staff. I have to be honest, it was a bit hard to totally try to kind of detect all where all the check marks were. But we did as best as we can, and I too was a bit surprised by seniors housing. But I think the overarching message from the staff, a lunch and learns, is that customer service was one of the top priority areas that they felt.
Yeah, and I think that's good to know that staff see that as something where they want to work on. It's how do we give them the tools, and I guess even as senior management, how do you do or what do you do to kind of make that available to them? And when you look at the, you know, the number two one is orientation and on board training. And I know I talked to the clerk last week, I believe, about some municipal ACTO. Yeah, you guys all know it. And training that you could do and develop here within the organization. And I think these are things that we need to AMCTO. So I think this leads straight into the conversation we had last week before I even seen the report, and quite, I guess, pleasantly surprised at how staff came to, we came to the same conclusion or an interesting conclusion to what staff are suggesting. And I would hope that if it's not identified within the HR end of it or within some departments to try and give staff the tools that they feel they need, whether it's the training or whatever, that we need to know about it and hopefully, to use that French phrase, tout de suite, to find out so we can have it part of the budget.
Ms. Porter?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor DeBoer. Actually, in 2015, we launched a revised employee orientation onboarding program. It is actually a month-long program and extends for a couple of months following their initial month or two. It involves all of the directors coming and presenting what their department does. It involves a lot of information that we provide to employees. It's a half-day session. It's the town ambassador program, which we've put together, so they actually have a buddy system, if you will. So there's been a lot of activity. I think it's gotten good press, And I think our employees are now interested in attending the new employee orientation session and onboarding session. So we are looking at trying to expand that to give everyone that same flavor as to what's happening. So we have worked on that. I'm not sure why it came up as a separate one, but it is in play right now. We do have calendars that, you know, have activities in terms of lunches with their directors, their town ambassadors, their managers, follow-ups, manager checklists. There's all kinds of things that sort of enable them to see what it's all about and to really give them enough support to do that.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. And I guess if it's on here, it begs the next question is there a piece missing? And that might be the part you're saying is just that everybody else wants to be part of it too and they've missed out. So the new employees are getting it, but the people that have been here for a while are trying to figure out what some of their other colleagues do.
Exactly. And we've also included those people that have been away either on a long-term disability or a maternity leave or whatnot when they come back to participate. So I think there's been some good press on that as well. And so we are looking to see how can we communicate in a better fashion in that respect.
Okay, thank you very much. And this report should have came ahead of the last one because then we could have talked about protection of the rural environment and how traffic and through traffic has an impact on that.
Anyway, I think that means coal for David. But anyway, Sarah, I want to say he's very good, but there's one thing that's interesting. You know, we talked about east side, west side, but it was interesting. Communications was not even recognized on the Bolton side, and yet on the other side there is. But that also tells us we do not have the infrastructure in place to keep the community informed as well on the west side. One is a smaller population, but reaching out. We do not have Caledon papers and different things that reach those areas that are to door-to-door delivery. So that's something we need to figure out how to work on. And also the customer service where you have the, you know, big centers. I think people are seeing that. The rural area, it's a little tougher, right? So there's some good takeaways. Mm-hmm. So thank you for helping with this session, and thank you for the report.
Thanks.
All in favor of the report? It's carried. Thank you, Sarah. We'll now go on to RB5. Oh, dear. I'm going to need a new mover here. Councillor Beffert's gone. So can I have someone to move the reenumeration? Councillor McClure, do you want to do that? Thank you. Yeah, he supports it. Yeah. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Ennis. Okay. Councillor DeBoer, thank you. Moved by Councillor DeBoer and seconded by Councillor Ennis that the report CS 2015-062, Council Remuneration Policy Changes, be received. One-third of remuneration paid to elected members of council and local boards continue to be considered as expenses and incidental to the discharge of duties as members of council or local boards as provisions to the subsection 283-5 of the Municipal Act 2001 for the 2014-2018 council term. That council expenses policy bylaw 2009-104 be repealed and replaced with the reflecting changes within the staff report of CS 2015-062, and that council remuneration approved as set out below as outlined in Table F of the report CS 2015-062 take effect as of January 1st, 2016. A, base salary remain the same for all members of council. B, $5,000 be reallocated to the mayor to base salary to cover expenses. C, $2,500 be reallocated to counselor, to each counselor to their base salary to cover expenses. $11,000 to be reallocated to the mayor for base salary to cover mileage. And $3,600 be reallocated to each counselor based on salary to cover mileage. And that the 2016 budget include a corporate budget under administration and general governance for expenses related to cell phones, conferences, training, newsletters, and supplies. Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Peggy, for your report. When we met, I did indicate to you that I didn't support making any changes to what we have currently, and that I was fine with status quo. So I just wanted to put that on record.
Okay. Councilor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you to staff for doing the work. I know there was a lot of effort put into this. One question I had, the original report had a line that talked about thanking our business partners that participated. I just want to make sure that we recognize their participation. I know this has come back a number of times. I just want to make sure that didn't get lost in the shuffle, our thanks to them. So just want to make sure that that happens, please. The only question I had with respect to the report is the corporate account where we have a pooled fund for things like cell phones, training, newsletters, office supplies, things like that. The reporting out as expressed on page 5 of 8, will it report out individually even though it's a pooled fund, or will it report out in a pooled fashion?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, it'll still be reported out individually, but okay. And once a year.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councilor DeBoer.
Thanks, and I think just to be clear, this is to deal with, and the reason we brought it back was to deal with the expense portion of it only. And I know Councillor Grove said that she was happy with the way things were done. I don't think that it's unreasonable for you to maybe explain some of the concerns that you had with how we were doing it and why, and it does state in the report, but why this is probably a better way to handle it, and the accountability does actually come back more directly to us as opposed to staff.
Yes. Ms. Tollett.
Okay, through you, Mayor Thompson. So there's several things that we were looked at when we were looking at this report, and I believe I outlined it in a summary for council just recently. So with, for example, for the mileage, there's some inconsistency within reporting the mileage for all members of council. There's different interpretations of how the policy is done. So in reviewing that, we wanted to allow council more flexibility with your mileage. So as opposed to having the mileage just paid as you go, instead of claiming on a regular basis, you would just keep track of that for the end of the year and then report it to your accountant at the end of the year. Depending on whether you have a business or not, it would be depending on which forms you would fill out. The town would still fill out a T2200. What it is it tells you that it's required for your job, that you need your vehicle. All your mileage, all your expenses related to your business or your mileage for your car would be a taxable deduction. So this is going a different direction. It's similar to other municipalities where they offer a car allowance. Instead of a car allowance where you have to pay tax on that on a regular basis, this just gives you it all within your income, and then you just claim it at the end of the year. So it's a little bit more straightforward and a streamlined process for not only staff but for council. With the expense policy, a lot of municipalities are going towards a more pooled budget because then it's a corporate budget. It gets reviewed annually with the clerk and myself, and then it gives us more flexibility in what is being used for. And then also we wanted to tie it to the different types of typical expenses that we see, so which are training, cell phones, and some of the newsletters, office supplies. So that would be more of a corporate budget. Some of the things that are done for public relations, you would just do it with your own income, and that's why we were directing some money there, to allow you that flexibility. So it is a change. This change doesn't cost the town anything. It's really much breaks it even. It was to allow more flexibility within your taxable income and giving you that flexibility to do your position. So that's the reason why we brought it forward. It's not really an increase in pay. It's really just a reallocation of the income you already get in a different format.
Yes, and I think for those that look at it, the increase in taxable income, the net to the town is no different. Actually, there's going to be staff savings in not having to, for example, issue checks. Our own expense claims won't have to be processed as far as through this building. So indirectly, there's actually a savings to the town.
Through Mayor Thompson, that's exactly why we brought it forward. So in my position looking at this, it was not only more flexible for staff to do their work and for council to do their expenses, but it certainly allows flexibility for, it saves time from Carrie's staff reviewing expenses, my staff processing the expenses on a regular basis, almost weekly sometimes, and then all the constant reporting. The main corporate budget, that's where you do your main work, that's what we would report on. So that's the reason why we brought it forward. It's another initiative within our department to be more efficient. And then the one-third, we were recommending to keep that because that, once you take it away, you can't get it back. But that whole purpose of that one-third
was that non-taxable portion was to help you do your position.
Yeah, the one-third was actually always intended to be the portion that you would use to cover incidental expenses. And then the other one is our own staff and the time that they take to submit. So I think that we all know that Jackie and Sandra are both spend a lot of time on our plan, on our reporting. This ends up making it easier for them, and it also puts it back to us. So the conclusion is that the bottom line, there isn't an increase in the total cost. Thanks.
I just thought it was Bill Ray because he always wrote in the paper every year what are all our expenses was his income. So I just figured it was Bill that was working behind the scenes making this happen. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I was just going to make a quick address on the report because I think it has a major flaw. You said that there's there's no more expense to the town, that it's revenue neutral.
So through you, Mayor Thompson, so if you were to spend your full $5,200 and your full mileage, you are losing a little bit of money. However, you are gaining in other respects. You're getting more taxable deductions that you can allow for your income. You're getting more flexibility with your expenses. And you're having a corporate budget each year that we would address each year. Then you're also getting additional OMERS and COLA getting added to your income each year. So this was actually supposed to be a positive thing. For me to make it so that you got over and above, like your mileage and your expenses, that total amount, like you, it would actually cost the town money. And that was not my objective.
Okay, so that's not what I was actually trying to get at. Fact is, the assumption is that every single person in this report used up $5,200. Am I correct?
No, that if you were to look at the $5,200 you're getting that tax-free right now.
No. But I'm just saying there's some on council that only file for a telephone, so they don't use up the $5,200. Now that those people actually get an increase because they never did file any of that. So I'm just saying, is this – so you're saying it's revenue neutral. I'm saying that the people who never use the full budget now get the full budget.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, it's revenue neutral to the town as far as expenses and how much it costs the town. For each councillor, it's different, and I cannot drive it per council. I can't say, well, this one pays more mileage, this one does not. And because when I'm looking at this policy, I'm looking at it not at the individual, I'm looking at the position. I don't look at other people's incomes. I'm looking at the position only. So when people look and say, well, it's going to cost me more in taxes, that's because they're a regional councillor or they have a business. I'm not looking at that. I look at it as purely as the individual position. That's my role and when I look at it. I can't do that because council will change and people's spending habits will change. So it has to be streamlined to that effect.
Thank you, but that's not what I meant.
I guess next thing is I'm going to go back to council communications and work down the list so we don't get lost here because I think Councillor Shaughnessy will be wanting to get there. Is there any announcements anybody needs to bring forward? None? Oh, yes, Councillor Innes, yes. Okay.
Councillor Reffer's not here, but he did leave this for everybody.
Sure.
It's the Altamill Pond Hockey Classic on January 23rd. And for more information, you can go to altonmillpondhockey.ca.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Innes. If there's no further announcements, I am going to go to urgent business. Anybody for urgent business? Okay. We've already done the notice of motion that's in our agenda. Is there any other new notices of motion? Councillor Shaughnessy, I believe you have one. Can you turn your mic on?
Merry Christmas.
Whereas in 2016, the Town of Caledon's governance structure will consist of a committee of the whole, and whereas in order to prepare for a meeting, it is helpful for members of council to have the agenda packages in sufficient time to fully understand the information. Now, therefore, it be it resolved that staff be directed to provide members of council with their council and or committee of whole agenda packages 1 week prior to the meeting taking place, and that this is phased in during January and February of 2016 with full implementation on March 2, 2016, and that the agenda be posted on the website 48 hours after the agenda is provided to members of council. I've moved it. Jennifer Innes has seconded it. My comment, just for people here, is that we've gone to being here every single Tuesday, and what happened from an efficiency point of view was that councillors weren't here on the Friday to pick up, and the town staff were driving it out to people's homes. Doesn't make sense to me. Waste of time and money. So having it available on the Tuesday when everybody is actually here makes sense. But in the time of a couple of months was just so SMT can plan for that, but I think it's something that all other municipalities or most of them are doing, and I think we have to be there. So that's just my explanation. Bye.
Thank you. Any other notices of motion? Okay, council inquiries. Councilor Groves, DeBoer, Downey.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. I'm not exactly sure who to direct it to. Maybe to Ms. Hall. In light of the province's announcement to stall the or suspend the 413 GTA West corridor, what mechanism do we have to look to them for answers to our rural residents and stakeholders, or all residents actually, in regards to the freeze on the study area, development lands, things like that? Those are the questions that are coming in to me, so I'd like to put that forward to you. Thank you.
I'm going to comment on that. I have sent a letter to the Premier, CC to the ministers. I will share that letter with everybody by the end of the day. That's the first start, but we as staff are just seeing what comes out of that to know, and it's at Christmas. This is just the, you know, they do it when the house is suspended, then they announce it. It's just a lot of interesting things falling into place. But we figure the quickest way was send a letter directly to the Premier, CC to the ministers, and I will make sure every member of council has it by the end of the day. Okay. Councillor McClure, any council inquiries? Councillor Innes. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. And maybe following up with what Councillor Innes was alluding to, I don't know. I'm just curious, seeing as the speed limit review has failed, there was a lot of good stuff in there that I think all of council would have supported. And it is tied in with the contentious issue, which was the raising of speed limits. What happens to all of that good stuff? How do we deal with that, and is there ways to implement that?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, my understanding is nothing happens to all that at this point.
I'm wondering if we can bring that to back a committee as a whole, work on it.
Through
the clerk is crap.
Through your worship to members of council, with defeating the motion today, what happened was the status quo remains. However, if you wish to bring something forward in the new year, a reconsideration motion will be required depending on what you're bringing forward. So we can deal with that in the new year.
Okay, and just to clarify, it wasn't necessarily a reconsideration, because I expect we'd get the same result. But is it all or nothing, I guess, was my inquiry.
There was good things. Through your worship to Councillor Maswell, yes, it was today.
Sorry?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yes, what was?
Now it is status quo, it was all or nothing.
Okay, you can bring a motion forward in the meeting.
Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Yes, I was on the same wavelength as Rob here.
I think what we can see that we were happy with was our villages and hamlets having that consistent 40-kilometer speed limit, which I know Joanna's ward needs, my ward needs. Is there anything wrong with Mr. Loveridge if we get together as a group to look at those villages and hamlets and say, you know what, that was a good idea. Let's at least get our village and hamlets in order to be consistent, because I know they're not consistent on my side.
Could we
you wouldn't be
back.
Opposed.
Could we bring that back as a workshop in the new session?
Well, I was thinking more of a motion.
Well, no, but I mean that way we can glean something out of there. That's all I'm just saying. Versus having them come back and get crucified again. You know,
he's feeling a little bit deflated. I was just...
Who is?
You got nine lives?
Sorry, Mayor Thompson. My job is to bring advice forward, Councillor.
Seriously,
this isn't personal. This is my job. It's what we do. We win some, we lose some, and that's where we're at. The question is, how do we get out of it now, or how do we change some of the elements of it? I think, you know, maybe in the new year we sit down and take a look at a different approach and come back.
Okay.
It's just right now it's we're where we are. It was a black and white decision today. And, no, there's no offense taken whatsoever. And it was a good discussion today, and I appreciated it. And we gave it our best shot, and we didn't get there. So we'll come back with a different solution later.
Okay. All right. We'll now move on to council receipts and minutes. We need to keep this, so Mr. Roche. All right. I need a mover and a seconder for the minutes here. Councillor Downing and DeBoer. Okay. Moved by Councillor Downey, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, that the minutes of the following meetings be adopted, written, and distributed. Council meeting held November 27th, 2015. Closed council meeting held November 27th, 2015. Council meeting held December 1st, 2015. Council meeting held December 8th, 2015. Special council meeting held December 9th, 2015. Council meeting held December 15th, 2015. And that the minutes of the following meetings be received, written, and distributed. The town, the Caledon Council Golf Tournament meeting held November 24th, 2015. The Accessibility Advisory meeting held December 10th, 2015. Caledon Library Board meeting held November 16th, 2015. Bolton Business Improvement BIA Board Management meeting held November 16th, 2015. All in favor? Carried. Okay, I need a. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Councillor Misapelli is just going to sit down because this is what we had to break apart for him. So moved by Councillor Shaughnessy and seconded by Councillor McClure. That the minutes of the following meetings be adopted and written and distributed, and closed meeting held December 8th, 2015. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Shaughnessy and McClure. Okay, the correspondence that we have in our package, there's a few of them. I know everybody's gone through them. There's quite a few of them. Moved by Councillor Misapelli, seconded by Councillor Innes, that the correspondence items listed in correspondence package of December 22nd, 2015 council meeting be received. And Councillor Misapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I just wanted to make note that we did receive a letter from from AMO thanking us for our contribution for the Syrian refugee effort. So just wanted to highlight, and it looks like they surpassed their goal. So Caledon played a part in that, and we should be proud.
And, you know, Councillor Misapelli, I'm just going to – it is – but I would like to say thank you to the businesses out there. We have Caledon businesses that are putting offers out to hire some of these refugees as workers, offering them employment. And I think that's huge. So our community is stepping up and doing their part. So all in favor? Carried. Okay, I need a mover and seconder of moving the final minutes. Moved by Councillor Downey. Well, that's the procedural bylaw?
This is the procedural
bylaw. Sorry. She's really messing with me today. Oh, so public question period before this? Okay, right. If I get over the next page. Public question period. Anybody from the public wish to have anything to say? You can. You're the citizen. You're taxpayer. Okay. Since there is none, I will now go to the bylaws. Okay. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Groves, that the following bylaw be read first, second, and third time and finally passed. Bylaw 2015-0108, to provide the rules and order of council and its committees, and repeal and replace bylaw 2009-088 as amended. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just a question of clarification through you to the clerk. Because I did not support the HCD report, and I think it's all part of the bylaw, how do I deal with that? Do we separate that out? Or?
Through your worship to Councillor Groves, this item right now is just concerning the procedural bylaw. However, at any time that you do not support anything, you are still able to vote for the confirmatory bylaw because the purpose of the confirmatory bylaw is to confirm the decision of council as a whole, not you individually.
But it kind of seems contradictory to me.
No.
But okay, you're the expert. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so before I can move this bylaw, I got an amendment here. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Misapelli, that section 551 be amended to replace the word shall, with the word, just interpretation, is Christmas, with the word may. So it's replacing the word shall to the word may. Shall it be may. All right, all in favor? Carried. All right, back to the original motion. All in, as amended, all in favor? Carried. Okay. All right. Okay, Councillor McClure, move, if you can do it. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Groves, that the following bylaws be read first, second, third time, and finally passed. Bylaw 2015-0106, to appoint acting mayors. Bylaw 2015-107, to amend Bylaw 99-46, being a bylaw of numbering of buildings. Bylaw 2015-0109, to confirm the proceedings of the Council Corporation of the Town of Caledon and its council meeting held the 15th and 22nd days of December. Councillor Groves, you can't go anywhere. That's moved by. Okay, all in favor? Carried. Got to sign this. Okay, anything else? All right, before I call this meeting to order, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a safe and Happy New Year as well. And, you know, the best of the holidays. Be careful out there. And I got to tell you, we've had a good year, and we're going to have a great year next year. And it's been a pleasure to work with all every one of you, and looking forward to a great year next year. Thank you, everybody. So, Councillor McClure, as you always do you want to move adjournment? Second by Councillor Misapelli. All in favor? Carried. Meeting adjourned.